talked about.
Are you sure it's okay?
Trust me. Just call it an experiment.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
It's a pretty quiet party, Murray.
It's only just started, Jermaine. Look at Brett. He's having a good time. Hey, Brett. You think it's rocking now? You wait till Jim gets here. It's going to be twice this. It's like a one-man party.
Well, does he need us then?
Megan, I just want to say one question. Hello.
Hi.
That's
how are
it. It's not a
good
question. It's a statement. Hey.
Oh, I've got a confession for you, foxy lady. I think you're a foxy lady.
If I even think about a girl that hot, I get the most unbelievable dry mouth. I mean, just picturing her beautiful eyes and her cute...
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Hey, Rocky, watch me pull a rabbit out of my hat.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
There we go. All right, good sound. Good sound.
Check.
Roll another one.
I'm not even going to comment on that.
Just like the other one.
What?
This one seems to be about to quit.
Leave the comedy to the professionals.
And I need another hit.
It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
I pity the fool who would do that.
Roll another one.
The FBI!
Yeah. Just yeah. Like the other one.
You're a monster!
This one seems to be about
that. That's provocative.
I don't have another cent.
Could be a crackhead. What? You got home to the wrong stuff.
But don't fuck up that joint.
My balls are no longer proportionate to my wang.
Do they do stuff to your butt?
Syphilis!
And now...
Smell that, Ralph? That's the smell of justice.
Our feature presentation.
You guys want me to talk? You won't have to do it.
Because
I know sometimes I disappoint.
Why is Kevin here?
I just got here seconds ago, and now I'm mocking everyone because I actually made it to a remote once. Now I mock you, even though I'm bad.
I'm a big boy. I caught one time.
Look,
on
I came to work. Aren't you all proud of me? I
asking.
Came to my job.
I'm just asking.
They paid me to come, and I actually did.
Kevin doesn't usually get to hear Ralph's uncanny impression of Kevin because he's usually parking the car or finding the location by now.
Honestly, sometimes I feel like you guys are disappointed
we
if
are.
I show up on time.
We're disappointed when you show up at all. Not just on time.
I've never I went wanted... to Petco, and it was a pet store, and I did not find where we were to be.
I did walk around the stadium about three times.
That did happen. Yeah, we are so, at we are at Petco Park in beautiful San Diego, California, by the way. Steps away from the Mr. Padre Tony Gwynn statue, which is immediately behind me here. And we are here because there's a little something called Comic-Con going on here this weekend.
Con!
Never wanted to be a Klingon more in my entire life than I do right now.
You could be. It's not too late.
I do not fit in here. I am not one of these people.
There's all kinds of people here, yeah. Kevin.
I know, but do I fit?
It's not just the people who wear the costumes and commit totally. There's plenty
it
of
is just
casual
that.
TV, movie, comic book.
But where does Gangly Pleather Guy fit? I mean, where is the convention
where, do I fit
where you...
Here?
We are going to take your phone calls in a minute at 1-800-520-1067 if you want to give us a call for Kevin and Bean's What to Do Nephew. Omar, we're not exactly set up to see who's calling, so you're going to have to pipe up and let us know when we're ready to go on.
I will. I will pipe up.
I have a question. Can we get some spotlights? Do we have any of those?
Can you not see? Is it not bright enough for you?
Like 75 spotlights.
Ralph was ready to tell everything
he knew.
And
they're 4 inches from our face.
I felt like a Russian spy. I was ready to confess all my secrets.
It's unbelievable.
Can we back him up just like 6 inches?
They turned him down.
Yeah, they did. There we go.
There we go.
All right. All right. Good sound. Good sound. Like okay. Come on. Check. One, two, A.
Ooh. Colors.
B, B, yes, A.
Yeah.
Wow. It's like a double good rainbow. What does it mean?
So, Kevin, what you've missed for the last half hour is... every time Ralph Garman talks to anybody, he's like, "Hi, Ralph Garman, King of the Comic Con."
King of the Comic Con.
Ralph Garman,
I believe it.
King of the Comic Con.
I believe it.
King of the Comic Con.
I'm the busiest man at the Comic Con.
You might be the busiest man at the Comic Con.
I absolutely am the busiest.
I know in about 20 minutes we're going to hear about your day yesterday, but it hasn't stopped, right? Today is a continuation of yesterday.
Today's busier than yesterday was.
That's unbelievable.
And Saturday's still busier still.
Really?
Yes.
You have become the King of Comic Con.
I am the King of Comic Con.
Actually, literally.
I kick Kevin Smith's ass.
People go to their knees when you walk by.
Oh,
yeah.
Especially the guys.
That you should follow suit.
I will tell you this as a first time Comic Conner. It's difficult for me, with my limited resources, to explain what it's like. But it's like the Super Bowl is in town on Mardi Gras weekend. I mean, that's pretty much what it's like. The streets are just packed.
On Mardi Gras weekend, if it happens to be... If it happens to be on Halloween. That's what it's like.
Exactly. Mardi Gras weekend.
I now permanently talk like I'm drunk. I really do. You know how people's mind can just get screwed up to a point where...
If you have as many strokes as you've had, really...
Why should you just start drinking? There's no downside to you.
I might as well. I sound the same.
But what I'm saying is the streets, and I'm sure it's a limited area of downtown San Diego, but everywhere, you know, within walking distance of the convention center is just packed as if it's, you know, Saturday night in New Orleans with people that are just crazy in costume and just partying and going everywhere and doing everything.
Well, when Mike and I were walking over, we were talking about they said they may be moving Comic-Con because of the sheer size of it. And we were saying we hope it never happens just for that reason because the gas lamp district downtown in San Diego is such a perfect location because you can walk to restaurants and bars and all the hotels are in
That's
one
the way
area.
It is so in Los Angeles, I don't know about campus. Anaheim. But
if you were to have it at the convention center down in Los Angeles, you wouldn't really have all these options.
Not all of them, but you would have a lot of them now. They've built a lot of new stuff. But having said that, I mean, I know a lot of people never wanted to leave San Diego.
And also, I was at the local radio station
was talking to you,
last night, and at least four people mentioned that they know someone firsthand that their whole year's made financially by Comic-Con.
Yeah,
be it a photographer or a restaurant or whatnot. So, I mean, I don't think you'd get that in L.A.
Yeah,
or that's true. Anaheim.
Well, it's good times. Omar, do we have any calls we need to go to?
Yeah, we have
one
call.
1-800-520-1067 if you want to get in on Kevin Amin's What It Do Nephew. Hit it, Steve.
We're sorry. You must first dial a 0 or 1.
What it do, what it do, what it do.
What it do, nephew.
What do you do, nephew?
I thought I was Steve.
No, Steve. Oh.
Steve can be anyone?
Steve lives in everyone's heart.
On Mardi Gras weekend.
How about a pair of passes to the advanced screening of Dinner for Schmucks at the ArcLight? It's going to be on July 29th in Hollywood. Of course, the movie opens the next day with the great Steve Carell and Paul Rudd, both of whom are hilarious and worth watching anything. So
I agree.
That's awesome. All right, 1-800-520-1067. Who is our first call today? Oh.
Our only call is Janelle.
Hi, Janelle.
Good morning, guys.
Yeah.
Hi, Janelle. What's happening? What'd it do?
I'm currently awake because I couldn't sleep because I'm going to my first Comic-Con ever.
Oh, check you out.
You've been up all night just kind of waiting to get ready to go?
Yes, absolutely.
And what are you going to be arriving as?
I'm arriving as this nerdy girlfriend of a nerdy guy. That's really it.
Oh, yeah. I see.
So basically you're coming with your dude. You're pretty cool.
That's a problem.
Yeah,
okay.
That's it.
Here's what I'm going to say about that. First of all, you're going to have a great time. Ralph, tell me if I'm wrong on this, because you know
you are wrong on this.
I know nothing about women, as you know.
You know nothing about women.
The Comic-Con,
both of those are true.
The Comic-Con chicks are the way to go. They don't have the superiority attitude. They're not looking down on you all the time. They're fun chicks. They're into stuff that you're into.
Hot geek chicks are
the best thing in the world.
Yeah, because they grew up feeling slightly out of place and slightly out of sync, so they never got that sense that they're God's gift. And
exactly.
Low self-esteem.
So this is home. This is home for them.
I may
this is their home
back.
Planet.
And Janelle sounds exactly like that kind of person who's going to go down there and she's looking forward to it and she's going to have a good time and she's probably looking forward to, you know, talking to people and stuff.
Janelle,
are you driving down today?
Yep, we're currently on the road leaving from Anaheim.
I was going to say you should leave now.
Yeah.
And they are.
Traffic getting in and out is not the easiest thing this weekend.
Well, if you leave early and happen to be here while the show is still on, please do come on by. We are at 10th and K Street, right by Petco Park, broadcasting live with a huge program today, so we'd love to see you in the crowd.
I know exactly where that is. We're headed there first.
Okay. Right. We'll see you later. Have a safe trip.
Bring me a muffin.
She knows where this place is more than I did.
How about that?
I was looking for Petco, and it was a pet store. I got a collar and a choke chain.
It was mighty God. All right, that'll do it for calls for today and for this week.
Strong.
Let's blow off all the other ones. Should we?
Yeah.
Just blow them off.
We've got too much show.
Because we can.
We don't have time for that.
Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean show, shall we?
Would you say that to Tom Petty?
Yes.
I think so.
Absolutely.
Pretty sure, yeah. The actual king of Comic-Con, Kevin Smith, will be here.
We'll see. We'll compare.
You can king off whatever that is.
I think he had two panels yesterday.
All right.
I think he has two.
Right,
two
but he's invited
well.
To do all of them, and he turns the rest of them down.
That's a good point. You have to ask him how many they asked him to do.
Well, then if you're the king, why do you turn things down?
Because he doesn't need to do it. He's already the king.
You're not much of a king. I'm just saying.
Although the truth is, we're debating the wrong argument here. George Lucas is the king of Comic-Con. When you really stop and think about it, if there's one,
I don't think he's done any panels, this weekend.
But he's God.
He's not even here. How can he be king of Comic-Con?
I agree. He doesn't have to be. There's no one bigger in Comic-Con than George Lucas,
whether he's
here or not.
I think Ralph's the king.
He's the force.
Yeah, but someone doesn't become president because they've been asked. They have to like follow through with it. Ralph follows through with a lot
God
of stuff.
God wasn't elected. God is just God.
We're talking kingdoms. Now we're not talking monarchy.
I didn't say I was the God of Comic-Con.
Yeah,
I'm the king of Comic-Con.
Okay, all right, I'll give you that.
I hate.
Can we move on? Adam Sessler will be here from G4
Adam.
Talking about video games. Not that Adam. We have a movie beat. Ralph will be telling us about the new movies this weekend, Salt.
Including his close personal friend, Angelina Jolie.
Oh, were you hanging out with Angelina yesterday?
I actually wasn't.
Oh, no, that's right. It was the King of Comic-Con.
He had his queen.
Did you get any time just to hang out and chat? Or
I did chat with her a little bit before we went on and did the panel. She could not have been more gracious, kinder, or more beautiful.
Did she ask about me?
Did Angelina Jolie ask about Kevin?
She did.
She did. Okay, good.
She said, "Are you still working with that stroke victim?" And I said, "Yes. I have to wipe his chin every once in a while, but he still shows up to work."
Singers, by the way, have never worked faster.
I was just checking on Omar. I just wanted to make sure he had that ready because you interviewed Angelina Jolie, and I didn't know if she asked about me.
Did Angelina Jolie ask about Kevin?
He did.
All right.
So movie beat.
I don't know how many times I'm going to be able to work that in, but I'll try.
Did Angelina Jolie ask about Kevin?
Right. Michael C. Hall?
Yes.
Did Angelina Jolie ask about Kevin?
Oh, sorry. Now we've changed topic.
I talked to Michael yesterday. We sat down and did a little interview. I'll play some tape from that.
Dexter starts in September?
I did the Dexter panel yesterday because I am the king of Comic-Con.
September?
September 26th is the debut of season 5 of Dexter.
It looks so good.
You didn't get close enough to catch it, did you?
Catch.
You're good, right?
To catch.
It's not true blood. He's a killer.
He had cancer, Bean. He was not infectious.
He didn't shake his hand, though.
Oh, Jesus.
You just gotta be careful.
You're dumb. Seth Green on the program today, talking about Robot Chicken.
Robot Chicken. I love chicken.
All right.
It's a robot.
Whatever chicken it is. Seth Rogen will be here along with Evan Goldberg.
Met Seth Rogen last night.
Talking about the Green Hornet.
Super cool dude.
You met him?
I did.
Was he staying in your room?
Yeah, where were you that you could have met anyone?
I could have met any number
of. Did he knock on your room and think it was his?
You don't know, man.
Did the bubble break?
You could have been.
And you were rolling around in the habit trail?
I could have been anywhere within the
site. Right, but you weren't. So what?
Maybe I was. Maybe I was.
What happened?
Maybe I was partying with Seth Rogen.
You weren't.
Maybe
you
I
weren't.
Was.
We'll ask him.
Did Seth Rogen ask about Kevin?
We also have Will Ferrell and Adam McKay stopping by.
Damn.
How about that?
Yeah.
Different Adam, Mike.
Same Adam. That Adam, not on the show. Oddly enough, but it is Friday.
Well, I'm down in San Diego, so I really couldn't make it.
Right.
Here's the thing.
He's here, isn't
He's
he?
He's like behind this curtain.
He's like
from the show.
Yeah, I can't make it. Yeah, I guess not a good idea.
Too busy.
For me.
You're the king. You're here.
King of Comic.
Where's he?
King of Comic Con.
So that is this morning's Kevin and Bean Show. We'll take a quick break and come back with the Showbiz Beat with the King next. 106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and it is
5:54.
Let's give it 5:54.
5:54 in the a.m.
We have no clocks here, so we have no idea what time it really is, but we are live at Comic-Con, well, close to Comic-Con in San Diego. People here at this hour showing up for the live broadcast. And this is without the Kevin Smith and the Will Ferrell and the Seth Rogen and the Seth Green and all the big stars that are going to be out here today.
The
King of Comic-Con.
Oh, the King of Comic-Con is
right.
Right.
Subjects come when beckoned. That's all I'm saying.
That's what you said.
You put the bat signal in the sky and they all show
up.
Yeah. Time for the King of Comic-Con with our first look at the Showbiz Beat for a new day on the Kevin and Bean Show. What's going on, Rob?
Since we are here at Comic-Con, let's talk about some of the big news events that happened at Comic-Con yesterday during some of the panels.
Where we were was making news?
Yes.
Wow.
Joss Whedon and J.J. Abrams shared the stage at a panel yesterday.
And Joss took the opportunity to confirm that he indeed will be the director for the upcoming Avengers movie.
Awesome.
So that's going to be great. J.J. Abrams said they're going to start shooting the next Star Trek film very shortly. And Guillermo del Toro was on the stage yesterday with our pal Patton Oswalt.
He came out at the end of the Tron Legacy panel.
He said there was going to be a surprise.
There were a couple surprises there. Guillermo came out and announced that he will be directing his version of a new film for Disney called The Haunted Mansion, based on the famous ride at Disneyland.
Interesting.
And he promises it's going to be scary and funny and, well, he's great, so it'll turn out well. And then there was a 3D message that was played from Johnny Depp as Captain Jack Sparrow. They're currently filming the fourth Pirates movie, and they did a 3D video he sent as a greeting to the Comic-Con audience, and everyone put on their glasses and watched it. It was very cool.
It's a lot of glasses.
It is a lot of glasses. Thank you for adding
Thank you for that insight.
Justin Bieber is going to be a guest star on CSI.
Yeah.
CBS says Justin will play a troubled teen who is faced with a terrible decision regarding his only brother.
Now, I have a question about that, Ralph. CSI felt that they needed somebody with his range and depth to bring a new dimension to the program, or Justin Bieber is a guaranteed ratings winner?
What do you think? Guy who's sitting over on the side backpack.
Why are you sitting in a divot over there?
I don't know what he's doing. Going through his backpack.
Looking for the bell.
Oh, I see.
Looking for the bell. Do we have a backup bell?
So you're busy.
You got a bell.
You're busy just working, but still you took the time out to ask just an ass-dumb question.
Yes.
My point was I'm mocking CBS for how blatantly they're pandering to ratings with a show that they're basically saying, we don't care about you, we just want to bring Justin Bieber in to get people to
watch.
That
was much deeper than I thought.
Apparently the CSI team is going to have to dust his hair for Prince.
That episode now.
Here's a surprise. Orlando Bloom and Victoria's Secret supermodel Miranda Kerr are apparently already married.
What?
What state allows gay marriage now?
What?
See, because she's
They got married in secret.
Oh.
We found out about it because her representative said she had to cancel some plans due to her honeymoon, to which the reporter said, what? And they said, yeah, she's on her honeymoon. They got married.
It's possible to get married when you're a celebrity without everyone knowing?
Apparently it is.
We have a clock now. It says 6:59.
6:59?
That's what our clock says
I've got 5:57.
It is that. It is 5:57. But we have a clock
now. We got 5:58 over here.
Yeah. And it's way wrong. So that's good.
I have 5:58 now, too.
I've got 8:15. So.
Marty, we're traveling through time. The flux capacitor, Marty.
Oh. Don't get much call for that.
Doc Brown.
Love it.
Comic-Con is a better place for
Comic-Con. He can do whatever he wants.
Love it.
Thank you. There's one guy applauding.
One guy.
A black guy.
Don't run into yourself. I don't know what would happen. Jennifer Aniston has been voted Best Summer Body of 2010 by Women's Health Magazine.
Best Summer Body?
Yeah. Hmm.
She looks good, man.
She's 41 years old.
Jennifer Aniston looks good. Yeah.
I don't know.
The best summer body?
Yeah, Sophia Vergara bikini pictures kind of obliterate whatever Jennifer Aniston is doing.
I remember about 4 years ago, though, Jennifer Aniston got like some shots of her candid shot, topless shots from her place.
Right.
And she does have banana boobs, but in a bikini... She looks amazing, and she actually like works for it. So
I was
going to
say Sofia Vergara just was born like that. I think Jennifer Aniston works really hard.
No one is saying who works the hardest. They just said summer body.
It's Women's Health Magazine.
Oh. Yeah, well, listen, exactly. It's Women's Health Magazine. So Jennifer Aniston has the best body for women to actually gather around and applaud because easily, you know, you could give it to Marissa Miller or Jessica Biel or other people who
Rosie
clearly
O'Donnell.
Have a better bottle, better body.
Rosie O'Donnell, right?
Rosie O'Donnell,
right?
Precious.
And lastly, Julianne Hough from Dancing with the Stars, who
Can
is
we
now
turn Psycho Mike's microphone off.
Look who's talking.
Who's now dating Ryan Seacrest, by the way.
And now they're admitting that, right?
That's a lie. They are admitting it.
That's
she is 21 years old. She said he started asking her out when she was 18.
That's a lie.
All right.
So for 3 years, he's been asking her out. She finally said yes. She said all this time, this is her quote, she thought he played for the other team.
We all did.
Your own girlfriend thinks you're gay.
Well, you're pointing at me.
I don't know. It just seemed appropriate.
Stop it.
Let's talk about today's celebrity birthday, shall we? A lot of them. Radio personality Don Imus is 70 years old today.
I wonder if he has any comment.
Nope.
His mic was turned off, asshole.
Woody Harrelson is 49. Martin Gore of Depeche Mode is 49 years old as well. Slash of Velvet Revolver is 45. Philip Seymour Hoffman turns 43 years old today. Stephanie Seymour, not Hoffman, is 42. Marlon Wayans is 38. Omar Epps is 37. Michelle Williams of Destiny's Child turns 30 today. Daniel Radcliffe.
Ooh.
Harry Potter is 21 years old today. Charisma Carpenter is 40. Yeah.
Big areolas on that front.
And actor Larry Minetti, who played Rick on Magnum P.I., is 63 years old today.
Really? Rick makes it?
The only reason I bring it up is because I ran into him in the lobby yesterday.
Really?
How cool is that? I was like, Rick!
I'm going to say, not cool.
Where's T.C. in Magnum?
You're into a guy who plays a part on a 70s TV show.
Oh, Magnum, I said. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and it is 9 minutes after 6 o'clock.
Woo!
You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. It is day two of our Comic-Con 2010 coverage. This time we are all down here. Well, the guys. Lisa May is not quite ready to make the plunge herself,
yeah,
so she's not here with us.
For me.
Too many geeks. like you don't get enough geeks every day coming to this show.
Exactly.
But anyway, the rest of us are here. We are broadcasting live from 10th and K, just in the shadow of Petco Park, where the San Diego Padres play here in San Diego.
See any shadows?
There's no shadows.
There's no shadows.
The sun's not even up yet.
It's really an expression.
Oh.
I'm just saying.
You say we're close enough.
Ralph is the king of Comic-Con, and he proved it yesterday by becoming the hardest working man in show business.
I was busy yesterday.
How many panels did you host?
Well,
we had a radio show first. Let's remember
after we
that.
We did our little radio show. I got to the con.
Con!
And I started with Salt.
Oh.
Ooh. Good way
Who
to
does
start?
That star?
Spent some time with Angelina Jolie.
Mm-hmm. Did she ask about anyone?
Did Angelina Jolie ask about Kevin?
Not even a little bit. I don't think she even used the same letters that are in Kevin.
Really?
I don't think she ever used a K,
in any other
e,
word?
A D, wow. An I, or an N.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
But she could not have been more charming and more sociable and sort of more...
Hot.
She is like a Greek goddess walking amongst mortals.
Yeah, she's unreal.
Yeah.
When she enters a room, she literally changes the energy of that room just by sheer force of her beauty and her grace and just sort of her energy. It's kind of weird to be around her.
But is everyone just shut up for a second and
it
go,
is.
What the?
Everyone kind of feels like a disturbance in the force. And you haven't even seen her yet. She's just walked in and she changes the atmosphere.
When you said hi to her, did she ask about anyone?
Did Angelina Jolie ask about Kevin?
Did she at least wear an unbelievably tight black leather outfit?
She was wearing a black leather pencil skirt.
Oh.
And a black leather jacket, and she just looked like a million bucks.
Oh.
And also in the movie is Liev Schreiber.
Yeah.
I had a chance to chat with
him. He's pretty hot, too.
And he is just the funniest, nicest guy. We had such a good time. And then after that, I did a panel for Battle Los Angeles, which I predict will be the sleeper hit that comes out of Comic-Con this
Now, what
year.
Is that? Is that a movie?
It is a movie about a...
Because I saw UH-60 over there, and I thought, wow.
It's a worldwide alien invasion. Where they attack all the major cities of the Earth at the same time.
Okay.
And this is told exclusively from the point of view of one Marine battalion who has to defend Los Angeles.
Okay.
It's like Black Hawk Down with aliens.
Yeah.
Wow, nice.
And it's remarkable. Aaron Eckhart is the star of that with Michelle fantastic. Rodriguez. So I got to hang out with them yesterday as well. And then I went to do the Dexter panel. And I
hung Did Angelina Jolie ask about Kevin?
Angelina Jolie realized nothing to do with Dexter, so I can't imagine why she would have.
Maybe he thought, you know, something spurred
This must
memory.
Be so weird for you, Ralph, because usually you're on the barricade, you know, trying to get in to get to where the celebrities are, and now you're an invited guest, and now you're actually supposed to be there, and they let you in with credentials.
It's been a long time since he's been on the outside.
So after Dexter... With Michael C. Hall and Jennifer Carpenter, of course, his wife, who plays his sister on the show.
And you interviewed him, which we're going to hear a little bit later.
I did talk to him. I brought some tape back. Then after that, I did another panel called Comics on Comics, which was a bunch of comedians talking about comic books and comic book movies and stuff like that. A lot of Kevin and Bean listeners were at that event, and I want to thank everyone who came out. That
now,
was great.
Will you host these? How many people are at them?
The Salt and the Battle LA ones, there were about 4,000 people.
Wow. In the Salt one, in front of those 4,000 people.
Yeah, right.
Did Angelina ask about anyone?
Did Angelina Jolie ask about Kevin?
If I say yes, will this stop?
Oh, God, no.
So there's really nothing I can do?
No.
Did Angelina Jolie ask about Kevin?
It's in Omar's hands now, so.
And then I ended the evening at the Showtime party with the Dexter gang and Californication and Weeds and all those people. And it was,
Dave Duchovny was there?
Awesome. Yeah.
Mary Louise Parker?
Yeah, sure. They did a Showtime panel with Dave and Mary Louise and the guy who plays Eddie, the pharmacist from
Nurse Jackie.
Nurse Jackie.
Yeah.
And Michael C. Hall was also on that one. So
wow.
What a day you had. It was very busy.
It was enough of a day for a whole weekend. And you have more today?
I want to take a nap.
What are you doing today?
Napping. No, I got, let's see, I'm hosting the panel for The Other Guys with Will Ferrell.
Awesome.
The Green Hornet. We'll be talking about that movie. A new movie called Virginity Hit that Will and his partner Adam McKay have produced. We'll be talking about that film. Priest, new film with Paul Bettany.
Mm-hmm.
We'll be talking about that one as well. And then Saturday, it is the event for NBC. And then Resident Evil Afterlife, the new Resident Evil film with Mila Jovovich.
Are you going to need next week off?
It's a lot of hosting.
Really I won't need it off, but I would like it if you come to visit me in the hospital.
All right.
All right, real quick, because we're almost out of time. We do have the movie beat coming up next. I have to find out about the Westboro Baptist Church, because I know that that was part of the plan for Kevin and for Mike to get down here, because you guys are familiar with the Westboro Baptist Church. They're based in Kansas, and they're the God Hates Fags guys,
yeah,
right?
They hate things.
So they protest at soldiers' funerals and things like that. And basically, they're publicity whores, and everywhere there are people, they try to look for an angle. So their angle was going to be this year that we are worshiping false idols because we care about Superman and Batman. Therefore,
more than God.
More than God. Exactly.
Don't read comic books. Read the Bible.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And that's going to work. So anyway, so they showed up here in San Diego, and I guess they brought their little signs in. Kevin, you drove by the protest?
They were right out in front of the convention hall. Yeah. And I drove by when I was checking in, and then I parked my car, and I ran back, and they were gone.
Wow.
But there were only 2 to 3 of them, and they were holding giant signs, and none of them said anything about heroes. It was all God Hates Fags. That's what the sign said.
Well, that's their greatest hit. I mean, that's their...
And then they were surrounded by maybe 25 police officers, maybe more. Across the street, there was police everywhere. And then there were hundreds of people with you know, other signs that were protesting
them. Right, exactly. Yeah.
The funniest one, which I thought, and by the way, I believe in God, so don't take this personally, but the funniest one was a guy who had a sign that said, F God.
And he was just doing that to tick off the West Pro people.
Trying to tease them off.
Just to make them angry. Right. But by the time I got back with my camera, they were gone.
Well, that's not much of a protest.
Right.
I have two thoughts. One is, I wish I were the police chief of San Diego to call off the cops.
Yeah, no kidding.
Well, you got to protect them because there's a lawsuit.
You don't have to.
If you don't, and then they sue, then you got problems.
What are you going to do?
You can't be everywhere and do everything, Ralph. And secondly, that whole movement is going to die out with the family. I mean, they're the only ones in it. It's not like they're gaining new supporters.
Yeah. When's that going to happen, do you think?
Well, I don't know.
Soon.
That old man.
How do we help that along?
By the age of the people that were holding the signs, pretty soon.
Fred Phelps maybe this has got to be 70, right?
But his daughter's pretty hate-filled, too.
I think she is.
She's going to carry
She's the one who did the poker face like parody songs. Right?
That's horrible, horrible song, yeah.
Well, I'm sure they were not well received here at Comic-Con.
They were not. I can guarantee you that.
This is a pretty tolerant crowd. This crowd believes in live and let live. They don't go in for that kind of hate speak very
easily. Right, exactly. Well, we got a huge program down here in San Diego. We're going to be broadcasting live all morning. A bunch of the people that you just heard mentioned in this conversation, including Michael C. Hall. We got an interview coming up with Ralph and Michael C. Hall talking about the new season of Dexter on the way. Will Ferrell is going to be right here. Seth Rogen is going to be right here. Seth Green is going to be right here. Our friend Adam Sessler, Kevin Smith.
Wow.
All of that straight ahead. And we take a short break and come back with the movie beat right after this on the Kevin and
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and it is 26 minutes after 6 o'clock.
Kevin Amin Show in San Diego.
Yeah.
Broadcasting live for Comic-Con 2010. It's
Friday.
Thank you,
Mike. Thank you.
Rob is here, and it's time for the movie beat.
In a world, someone has been watching. One man who risked everything.
I'm sorry, I have not seen any of your films.
Without seeing the movies. Ralph Garman's Movie Beat. Welcome to my world.
Kevin, have you been to the Grease sing-along yet?
I have not.
Made your way to the Grease sing-along?
I have not.
But you're going, right? You got plans to go.
No interest.
You know, they're showing Grease, and then they've got the words up on the screen. You get to sing along.
Bean said, hey, would it make me gay if I went to the Grease sing-along?
How much money would you pay to see Bean in a leather jacket and a t-shirt with his hair greased into like
I'm
a ducktail?
Dress up.
And he just shows up with a collar flipped, and he's singing Summer Nights. What would you pay,
sir? You're not going to dress up. You're also not going to sing.
I'm just going to go.
So why go?
I'm going to hum along quietly to myself to
Here's
hear the one that I want.
Let's remember he's not going to go because there's not a matinee. I can't go at night.
I can be there by myself.
I really like to sing in the morning and midday.
My
my desk, my pipe starts to go.
What's going on with the grease?
Anyway, it's at the AMC Century City here in Los Angeles. If you want to check it out, you can go to greasemovie.com for more details.
And I will.
And to find it near you. Also opening this weekend, Ramona and Beezus. Which is the names that Kevin Bean first went by when That's they were true. Working in radio. Remember when you were Ramona and Beezus?
Sure were, yeah.
This is actually a movie about a little girl named Ramona, coincidentally enough.
How about that?
It senses her family's home is in danger, and she uses her smarts and her energy and enthusiasm to save the day. It's a kid's movie, as you can imagine, based on a very popular series of children's books. Selena Gomez stars in the film, along with little Joey King and Bridget Moynihan as their moms. You can check that out. Here's a little clip from Ramona and Beezus.
The most prettiest apartment girl in high school. And everybody loves you.
Ramona, I know that you think being different is bad. But it's not. You don't worry about coloring inside the lines, you know?
Huh?
You're your own person. You don't care what other people think. It's brave being how you are.
Oh.
That's for everyone down here.
See? It's more important to be yourself and to be different than it is to be beautiful. One of the beautiful people.
That brought a tear to my eye.
One That's of the good. Popular people.
The guy, the guy in the Yoda t-shirt really felt that.
Judge me by my size, you do?
And also opening today, Salt, starring my good friend Angelina Jolie. We spent, of course, the afternoon together yesterday.
Did she ask about it anyone in particular?
I don't have that queued up.
Come on!
Suck it!
Suck it! You fail!
Suck it!
The only time we're guaranteed he's going to talk about it.
Director Philip Noyce works together again with Angelina Jolie after 10 years. They did Bone Collector together. Remember the Bone Collector?
I do.
I rented that. Three bones was all she collected in that movie, by the way. That's all she could collect.
She could collect a lot more now.
Angelina plays a CIA officer, agent rather, who is accused of being a Russian spy. Like, there's Russian spies anymore.
Yeah, no kidding. How dated is that?
Liev Schreiber said yesterday, it's the greatest marketing campaign ever. Anyway, so she has to go on the run from the CIA. She has to battle against the very agency that she works for in order to try to prove her innocence. It is action-packed. It is the stunts that she does. You can tell it's her, and it makes all the difference in the world when you see her actually doing that.
It's crazy the stuff they let her do, being such a huge movie star, that they let her do so many of her own stunts. But she apparently loves it.
And Philip Noyce, the director, said she worked hand-in-hand with the stunt coordinators from the onset, from pre-production of the film, so she was like a stunt person by the time it was done. They
Amazing.
Felt very comfortable that she wasn't going to get hurt. Here is a scene from Salt.
On the ground!
I have to find my husband, please. Joshua!
Stay back!
Last chance!
Somebody is setting me up!
Don't make me put you down!
No!
Come on,
no!
What he says?
On the ground! Down
Let's sort this
ground.
Out, I promise.
I gotta bring you in, Salt. Sober, face down!
Someone is going to try to kill the Russian president, you know that! Do something about that!
Well, come in and tell us
That's what you
know.
Should be worried about.
There's no way to run. Quit now.
No, I didn't do anything.
And off she goes.
Ooh.
We're on our way.
Sounds Wait, awesome.
When they say there's nowhere to run, quit now. Doesn't she just quit?
No, she does not quit, sir.
Really?
It would be a very short film if that were to be the case. She does not quit.
Does she ask any questions about anybody?
Did Angelina Jolie ask about Kevin?
Thank you, Omar. Oh, Omar, I'm going to beat the crap out of you when I get back.
Did Angelina Jolie ask about Kevin?
Just a question.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the movie beat.
All that you know is at an end.
That was Ralph Garman. Ralph Garman. Movie beat.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and it is 20 minutes till 7 o'clock.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show live from San Diego, day two of Comic-Con 2010. By the way, we are broadcasting in front of Britt Reed's garage. It's not quite open yet, but it will be later, and you can go in and see all of the cars from the Green Hornet.
Well, we got a bunch of black beauties right out in front. You
it's
can
unbelievable.
See.
Do you see the Hornets walking around yesterday? The Green Hornets?
Oh, yeah.
Good times.
Yeah, I'd like to put my stinger in her.
And I'm going to give you a chance to work on that one and get back to me. The Green Hornet himself, Seth Rogen, joins us later on in the program. Right now, ladies and gentlemen, give it up for our friend Kevin Smith stopping by.
Good morning.
Mr. Smith,
how's everybody?
How many Comic-Cons does this make for you this weekend?
I've been coming since 95, and I think I've missed one, so 14. Not consecutive, though. Not straight.
Well, that's not very good.
Very gay. Yeah. Yeah, I have a very gay Comic-Con record. It was broken at one point. But, yeah, I've been here a lot, man. And I've seen some changes. It gets bigger and bigger. It's weird. I'm the first one I went to in 95, we screened Mallrats down here.
Wow. Oh, yeah.
And it was so misleading because we had this packed screening, and when it was over, like, that movie is engineered for this market.
Right.
You know,
yeah.
It came from that world. It was for that world. When the screening was done, we're like, we're going to make more money than E.T. Based on this reaction, like, everybody's going to go and
they
whatnot.
Were so excited.
That was it. The entire Comic-Con audience went that weekend. And that was the best it ever was. And so that was the first time I actually got to come down and go to the con. And I'd been reading about it for years in, like, Starlog and stuff like magazines like that, Fangoria and whatnot. So to actually, lay, you know, put a foot down in there, it was pretty dope. It was,
yeah.
And it continues to be a very cool thing, but that show has kind of changed. It's become an all-media show. You know, it's everywhere. It's like celebrating the popular arts. And if you look really hard, you'll find some dudes selling comics in a corner somewhere.
Well, Ralph has been telling us for years that the geeks will inherit the earth.
Yeah.
And it's easy to come to pass.
It's easy to believe.
I was wishful
it's
thinking.
It's already done. It does seem like it, doesn't it? Based
yeah.
on the movies that are being made, that's for sure.
Just for one weekend a year, the geeks inherit the earth. The rest of the time, they get their asses beat.
Hey,
I was running from geeks yesterday.
Were you?
They were going to beat me down.
They
well,
should.
I just didn't have a stormtrooper outfit on.
You weren't dressed properly.
I wasn't. Yeah.
I saw a stormtrooper waiting for a bus. It was actually a little bit sad because he had his hat off and it was in his hand. It was obviously been a long day. He's kind of tired.
Why don't you go over there and bust him like, soldier, helmet back on,
you can't
man.
Take your helmet off.
I'm Grand Moff Tarkin. Put that helmet on.
I know you've been as involved in comics as a fan can be. Have you done a comic book movie yet?
No, I almost came close. I mean, that's why it was very bittersweet
Superman,
and
yeah.
poignant. No, just walking around the Reeves garage.
Yeah,
that was the one that I was almost going to do, and it was weird, like seeing the cars and the missiles and everything. Like,
thinking about what you could have done with them.
Yes, not even that. Just going like, wow, that could have been my car. it was weird. It was like hanging out. It was like seeing your ex girlfriend with a new boyfriend.
Is the boyfriend hotter than you?
Very,
yeah,
much
does.
Much hotter, funnier, everything. Where you just thought like she'll never do better than me, and then she found Seth Rogen. You're like, damn it.
Although that script has been turned into a very successful comic.
Yeah,
series.
And I know it has.
Still
yeah.
People
yeah.
are loving it.
Very much.
Is there a comic book franchise out there that still is up for grabs that you could get and you could do? Is that a possibility
there
in the future?
A bunch, but I don't think I'm the guy to do it. I think
really?
You
yeah,
keep saying that. That's just wrong.
It's just
if
wrong.
I make one, I give up the right to make fun of those who do it poorly. You
well,
know
you
what
know.
I'm saying? Like,
no,
I can't.
Know.
Yeah. How do you bust on the Fantastic Four movies if like you made Daredevil?
I want you to do. I want
and
you
not
to,
that Mark Steve. I thought he did a nice job, but if I made that movie, like suddenly you're licensed to make fun of others.
Well, it would
is
have
removed.
To be great.
But
it
you would have to.
And
be great.
When have I ever delivered even good? Let alone great.
Oh.
So you
but
know,
right
there,
there's people like us who have never directed anything and never will, have never made any movie, and we bust movies all the time.
That's
right.
True.
But let me ask you this:
I'm not going to do it.
I'm so fascinated with the fine line you walk between being a fan and being a professional, a guy mm-hmm. who does it for a living. When you go see Iron Man,
yes.
do you sit there and go,
total
John
fan.
Favreau is a god and I could never do that? Or do you go, wow, I'd love to have a movie like this to be able to
there's
play with?
Never, look, I like Favs. There's never been a moment in my life where I'm like, John Favreau's a god.
Because
no.
you know him.
Yeah, totally. He's very human.
No, but you watch that movie?
I watched that movie as a total fan and I'm like, wow, man, he pulled it off. Like, I give big props to Favs for Iron Man because I didn't care about Iron Man. Never did. Thought it was boring. Heard the movie announced. I was like, well, I mean, I guess it makes sense. They can CGI the entire thing. I'll see it. But I have no interest in Iron Man. By the time that was done, him and Robert Downey Jr. just made me care about Iron Man. I became a fan. So much so that I was like frothing at the mouth for the next one.
I want you
I'll
to
like
do Ant-Man. Can you do Ant-Man
that's
for
Edgar Wright's doing
Edgar Wright.
Oh, that's already been
this
taken.
This is Edgar Wright's con, man. Have you seen all the Scott Pilgrim stuff?
Yes.
Yeah. That's totally his. But,
hey, somebody's calling you.
Yeah, I'm turning it off. I was embarrassed I turned it up.
Ralph was telling us a few minutes ago about the unbelievable day he had with 20 panels or something. It seemed like he was going
I
from
did. Were you hosting? Did you do Dexter stuff yet?
I did Dexter yesterday. Uh-huh. I did Salt with Angelina. Did Battle
did Angelina
Los Angeles.
Which Angelina now?
Could I interrupt? Did Angelina Jolie ask about anyone?
Did Angelina Jolie ask about Kevin?
Yes, Kevin Smith. She did ask about him.
Foiled.
She said, you know Kevin. I said, yes, I do. She goes, I'm a huge
what
fan.
Were you really on the panel with her?
I've moderated it.
So how far away were you sitting from her?
Physically. This close.
Get out of here.
I was standing there at the podium and she was sitting right next to
me. Does she smell like weed like I do or no? What did she smell like, dude, the whole time? I don't think I could moderate. I'd just be like...
Well, she was wearing a,
I'd just be
she was wearing
her
a black leather pencil skirt. It was
right.
just skin tight and a black leather jacket.
Oh.
And she smelled like a combination of jasmine and leather.
I just wanted you to be so bad. Like, she smelled like a fart.
No,
like, you'd think she'd smell pretty, but she smelled
but
like a
really
fart.
That'd be
her
awesome.
Farts smell like perfume.
Did anyone's name come up?
Did Angelina Jolie ask about Kevin?
A little slow.
So Ralph has proclaimed himself the king of Comic-Con because of his very busy day yesterday.
Yes. And today and tomorrow.
And today and tomorrow. And you probably could do more than you were doing, but you got a couple things going on.
I like to just do what I want to do and enjoy
people
it.
People ask you to do stuff all the time, I bet.
They do, and I kind of limit it to the stuff that, like I don't want to go to the con and have it be work, you know what I'm saying? Like, I want to go and enjoy it. So yesterday was pretty much a joy. We had a Batman panel for our book, Widening Gyre, that me and my friend Walter Flanagan have been doing. Then we did a signing. I haven't done a signing in a long time. Went to the DC booth and signed for an hour and whatnot. And then I went and did an interview and then took off.
When you sign, is it as much as you talk? Like, do you write, like, three pages?
You come up, basically, and, like, instead of me signing,
one guy
talking to you, and I'm just like, is that your girlfriend? Can I watch you guys have sex? You know, I interact, and then I forget about the signing. Eventually, somebody, so I'm like, okay, bye. And then they look at me for a beat and go, can I,
you know? Would you mind signing?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah. Right,
that's right. Dave the King of Mexico and I had a star sighting last night. And
Who?
It was still a thrill. We were walking back from dinner. We had a nice romantic seafood dinner last night, and we saw Stan Lee was doing a signing at the Chuck Jones Gallery around the corner.
That's
there.
That's awesome.
And we went in. And, I mean, you go in there and you go, Stan Lee is standing in front of me. I mean, that's the beautiful thing about Comic-Con is these people that you look up to your whole lives. I mean, imagine what it must be like to wake up every morning and go, yeah, Spider-Man, mine.
Totally. You know? That would be like laying claim to, I created Zeus.
Yeah.
You know, like,
yeah.
And they're like, no, you didn't. They're like, no, totally. I wrote Zeus for the first time. I was a guy who was like Zeus, and he comes down in the golden shower and has sex with you. Like, he can lay claim to creating
a whole mythology.
Yeah, remember the golden? Zeus turned into a golden shower, had sex with
some
goose.
I don't think that's right.
You watched the porn version.
I don't think that's right. Yeah.
I think maybe I'm thinking of Caligula.
Okay. But it was just amazing, though, to think that dude is real and alive and still walks
through
today.
He's a legend.
When you think about how long ago he created X-Men and stuff like that. It's amazing. We're so lucky to still have them.
And people always fetishize, like, people like George Lucas, he created the entire Star Wars universe, or Steven Spielberg. These dudes read Stan Lee. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
like,
right.
These dudes do what they do today in large part because of people like, and specifically, Stan Lee. They'll talk about Stan Lee. They talk about Marvel Comics and whatnot and how influential they are. I walked onto the con property yesterday. This is how I knew, you know, right away. It starts off as an awesome con. We got off at the back loading dock area, and just as I'm walking in to go into the con, all of a sudden, hey, spider friend, and I turn around, and it was Stan coming out. And I was like, hey, man, and we sit there, and we had a five-minute chit-chat, and then he was off to do, like, any number of things he did. And it was awesome. It was just like, that's the way to begin the con, be greeted by Stan Lee. They should have him as a greeter at the front door. Because he looks like a Walmart
he does,
greeter.
Yeah,
you know, put
right
a blue vest on him and whatnot. Hello, spider friend.
No one would ever go in. Kevin Smith,
it would be a long line.
Is here with us. We are broadcasting live Comic-Con 2010 in full effect. We are in San Diego, don't you know? And we'll return with more right after this on the Kevin and Bean.
And now, it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
106.7, Kevin.
What happened? Would you guess?
You tell us, man. It's your aneurysm. Not ours.
That is A Moment with Kevin.
Yeah, that's our boy.
In my defense, that was the first time I ever had to say that. So I was just learning
the
ropes.
What were you supposed to say?
K-Rock Road Trip USA. Stop number 3 is Green Day in Boston. You can qualify with tickets to see Green Day August 31st at Verizon Wireless. Plus, you can win a 2011 Scion XB equipped with
Scion
custom Gumo tires. And you can find all the details for that at krock.com. It is 6:57. You are listening to the Kevin Beach live from San Diego. Our friend Kevin Smith in the booth with us right now. We're broadcasting live right outside.
I can't believe people actually came out.
I know, it's crazy, right?
I think that's really sweet, man. Thanks. I know you didn't come out for me, but it's just weird that you would come out to. Is it fun
Trust
to watch
me.
A radio show?
They came out for you. Trust us.
They did, yeah. Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
Well, since we're at Comic-Con, let's talk about what happened yesterday. A couple newsworthy events. Joss Whedon was on a panel with J.J. Abrams, and he confirmed that he is indeed directing the upcoming Avengers movie.
Is that news?
Yeah, it would have been rumored for some time, but it hadn't been confirmed.
In our world, it was news. Bet.
Word.
What up, nerd?
They're high-fiving now.
No word yet still on who's going to play Bruce Banner, of course.
Yeah, that's up for grabs now.
Ed Norton is gone, so we'll see who's going to be the Hulk's alter ego.
Don Cheadle.
To make up for that whole War Machine debacle.
Did you see that picture? The picture online somebody had of a
Chris
marquee
Rock.
at a movie theater, and it said in the big letters, Iron Man 2. And then in small letters, it said Terrence Howard 0.
Yes. That was at the Neptune in Seattle.
Is that what it was?
Yeah.
That was in Seattle?
Yeah,
I saw
Neptune.
That picture.
It's hilarious.
Guillermo del Toro was also on a panel yesterday. He came out at the end of the Tron Legacy panel hosted by our buddy Patton Oswalt. He came out to announce that he will be directing the Haunted Mansion movie for
Disney. I
read
this, man.
Now, is that a remake of the old Disney
They're rebooting the Haunted Mansion franchise because I don't know if anyone remembers Eddie Murphy did
Eddie
this
Murphy
a few
did a
years
horrible,
ago.
Horrible movie based on that ride.
Now we're doing reboots really? Within 5 years.
Yes,
man.
Exactly.
But still, I look forward to the Guillermo del Toro version.
Yeah, this will be... only in name will this be connected to that film. He is re-envisioning it, which, with his mind and the way he works, it's going to be
come
remarkable.
Across. You're like, hey, man. You went nerd on him. You were like, hey, man, del Toro will bring the truth.
Do not bring up the Eddie Murphy thing.
They are only similar in title only.
That is a debacle.
I thought you were going to throw off your cans and rush off.
So is this the movie that he screwed The Hobbit for because he wanted to do this
he
instead?
He didn't screw it. The money went away.
Is that
the
how
Hobbit.
You get the good jobs in this town? You screwed a
you
Hobbit?
You got to screw The Hobbit.
Point me in that direction, man.
Your wife's been doing it for years. Thank you. Good night.
Wow.
Jeez.
That's how
it's
it goes.
It's always better when you're on the TV screen because we can just turn it off.
Yeah.
Better for us, too.
Also, Johnny Depp. What's his name?
Frederick.
Johnny Depp made an appearance, at least by video. He showed up at the end in a 3D video message for all the fans of Comic-Con. He did it from the set of Pirates of the Caribbean, of course, the fourth one where he's filming.
Hey, man, it can be said that I'm here in 3D right now.
You are?
Yeah.
It's uncanny. It's like you're coming right at me.
Exactly. So never mind Johnny Depp and how special he is. I'm in 3D.
I got to tell
right
you,
here.
Kevin Smith looks so lifelike, too.
He does.
Just like my dummy on the ride.
And let's talk about the sad news in Hollywood going on right now. There is still the threat of a pending Teamsters strike threatening production. Right now is about a week away from when their contract expires with the producers. And so they are currently negotiating to try to keep everybody working. Apparently the Teamsters want a 3% boost in their wages. The studios and producers are only willing to give them a 2% hike in wages. So 1% is... potentially going to keep people out of work for...
I'm not a negotiator by trade. But if they're at 2 and 3, maybe 2.5.
That's madness.
I'm just saying.
It's crazy talk.
Why not just give it to them?
Give them 3.
Actually, those people are literally the people that make the movie. They like me stand there and go, like, pretend to do this, pretend to do that. Those people lug cables, plug things in. Provide power.
Drive
actually
stuff.
Makes the movie. Drive things. Move things around. I mean, that's the important work. And I say that as a guy who's about to go into production and I need a bunch of Teamsters.
Yeah.
So,
immediately.
Give them 5%, people. I don't understand why you're holding out.
So we'll be following that.
Working class is always getting screwed, Ralph.
Yeah, I'm telling you.
I didn't know anyone was getting raises anymore at all. I mean, if you even get a 2% in this economy, you're doing pretty well.
Wow.
Wet blanket down here.
So you're working for the man now?
No,
so
I'm not saying that. I'm just saying lots of people are taking pay cuts. I'm saying if they're in a business where they can get a pay raise, even 2% sounds pretty good to me.
Oh. All right, Adam Smith, market controls everything. Fine, whatever, man.
Wow.
We're up with the workers down at this end of the table.
All right.
Let's talk about celebrity birthdays, shall we? Woody Harrelson is 49 years old today. What could you get Woody for his birthday?
Let me think. That he might find some
I bet you whatever's in Smith's pockets he would like. I know that
might
be
true.
Martin Gore Petschen.
What, a vibrator?
I said in your pocket, not your ass.
Oh! Jesus!
That's now how it's I'm a go. Hobbit who uses that into my butt. You guys are terrible.
Martin Gore of Depeche Mode is 49 years old today. Slash of Velvet Revolver is 45. Philip Seymour Hoffman.
Wait. Slash of Velvet Revolver. Come on, dude.
Guns N' Roses is 45 years old.
Come on, don't sell out on the 80s. We were there, Ralph. It was an important decade.
I just vaguely remember it, though. Philip Seymour Hoffman is 43 years old today. He's a good actor.
He should be the Penguin.
He'd be a great Penguin, wouldn't he?
Did I hear you say yesterday? I know this is old news, but the dude Joshua Gordon-Levitt, they're thinking about for the Riddler.
That's the big word.
Is that it?
Yeah.
Wow. Who told you that?
He and Nolan came from a website called The Realm.
Where'd they hear it?
From an insider.
Kevin doesn't have the chain of command on every word.
I don't know. I'm just. It sounds weird.
I think that's a great choice, though.
It's a great choice, but that's the first I've heard of it. But has anybody said that Nolan said it?
Well, they worked together on Inception. They had such a great time together. Apparently, that's where it came from, Nolan's camp.
That's how you get in that movie? You just got to be in one Nolan movie and maybe get in the next?
Boom.
I should have buddied up for Inception because I could have been the Penguin.
Oh, you'd be awesome.
Totally, man. I could look like that.
Would you shave the beard for the Penguin?
No, man. I would leave the beard. And
be a hairy Penguin?
Yeah, I'd take, you know, Nolan likes it.
I was
gritty,
doing
the
hairy Penguin last night.
Were you?
I'm the Penguin, man. Check out this flick.
Totally. That would be my approach.
I love that flick, man.
Yeah, I'd be like, listen, man.
Look, whack, quack,
listen,
quack,
Batman,
man.
Get off my back. I'm just trying to earn for my people. I'm trying to wet my beak a little. You're such a fascist.
I don't believe you, Penguin. Your beak has already been
wet
enough.
What did you say? What are you saying to me, Batman? Batman, I can't understand you.
Your beak has already been wet enough. I think it's time for you to go to jail. I
can't believe I'm squaring off against Bat Scooby.
Oh, other people had birthdays, whatever.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It is 13 minutes after 7 o'clock.
We are live in San Diego for Comic-Con 2010. It's the Kevin and Bean Show, broadcasting from 10th and K, right by the Mr. Padre Tony Gwynn statue at Petco Park. We'll be here all morning long. Lots of great guests, including Ralph's interview with Michael C. Hall from Dexter, coming up in about 15 minutes or so. Kevin Smith, ladies and gentlemen, here up at the table with us.
Hello, folks.
I know you have a busy Comic-Con schedule, but you're also going to squeeze in one of your famous Smodcasts. You're doing that tonight here in San Diego.
We're doing tonight. Yeah, there's Etnies, the sneaker company. They're making Kevin Smith sneakers. I don't know how else to explain. I'm wearing them right now.
I saw the clerk shoe. Yeah.
Yeah,
they're awesome.
And there's two other pairs. So they come out, I guess, this week or next week, very, very soon. So they were like, let's have a party down there. So we're going to, I think it's at the Say Hotel. I'm not a pronouncer.
And everyone gets free shoes?
No. But what they're doing is, like, I guess if you follow Etnies Culture on Twitter, you can find free tickets. They hide them around town. Everything's a game now. You can't just be like, hey, man, show up. You got to trick people into things, I guess.
And then you steal an everlasting gobstopper and give it
pretty
back.
Much,
you
pretty much.
You have to get
much.
On a
give
bus.
It a Slugworth.
Yeah, man. Yeah. And yeah, everlasting gobstopper.
So what time is that for people who want to come down and see you?
Well, that thing's tonight, but that's, you got to find those tickets.
You got to find the tickets.
Go to Etnies Culture at Twitter, and they'll tell you where they're going to be. I think they're like, we're on the corner of blank and blank, and then you rush there and grab tickets.
Now, I haven't seen yours in person. I just saw the picture on the website. But they look exactly like regular Etnies, except they have the word clerks on
them. They just wrote the word clerks.
I mean, that's it. That's
but inside, if you open it up, on the sole, is that what it's called?
Yes.
The thing that I don't have.
Right.
Souls.
inside, there's pictures. Like, there's a picture of me and Muse on the inner sole. And on the inside, on the tongue. It's all about low tech, dude. They don't want to, like,
hit you
put
over the
you
head
all
it.
Over. Yeah, it's very, very subtle. On the inside of the tongue, there's a quote from the movie.
So there's a bunch of stuff where you never see it.
Yeah.
And okay.
I was standing in line in a movie theater, and somebody was just like, I love those shoes. What's Clerks? And I was like, the sneakers must work, man.
Wow.
Like, there's a whole sneaker couture out there. Like, people are real sneaker files and whatnot. And I had people who were like, I had a dude come up to me. He's like, I don't like that movie, but I love those sneakers. Where'd you get them? And I was like, I didn't want to tell him I made that movie.
They have sneakers for your other movies too?
No, so far it's Clerks. And then there's a red pair that they did my name, like K asked my initials. As per the New Jersey Devils logo, like the NJ kind of thing. And inside the shoe, it says Kevin Smith is the devil.
Nice. Speaking of the Devils, I know we're horribly out of season, but I don't know when I'll see you next.
Yes.
What's going on with the crazy, hey, let's give this guy a 17-year contract to play?
The Kolachuk?
And then the league came out and said, no, we're not going to allow it.
Which is weird because the GM over at the Devils, Lou Lamoriello, is generally beloved and respected.
Look at the eyes glossing over the Comic-Con people.
I know. It's weird. They made this dude, long story short, this dude Kolachuk, this Russian player, is amazing. He's 50 goals. Score, and they made him this deal for 17 years for like $102 million or $105 million or something. They had a press conference to announce it. He was happy. The Devils were happy. It was after 2 weeks of negotiations.
He's playing with Dwayne Wade.
To LA.
He's going to play with Dwayne Wade and Chris Bosh.
That's true. And then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, the NHL slapped it down and said, this is an illegal deal. We're not approving it. So now they got to figure it out again.
On what basis? They don't allow
it? Because basically the way they structured the payment plan, it's breaking the salary cap. So they've front-loaded a lot of the money, and then the last few years of the contract is like $500,000.
And they have no expectation that he'll be playing that long.
He'll be 44 years old when it ends.
He'll be 40, yeah.
He'll never make it to the end of the contract, so it's like it's not really a fair deal because you're sort of BSing us saying it's going to be 17 years.
Recognized.
I have a question.
Kevin has his hand up.
I love hockey more than most.
Yeah. Yes.
We're at Comic-Con with Kevin Smith.
Right.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe we should be talking about
that. He brought up the Devils. He mentioned the Devils, and that occurred to me. We had to ask him about that. that because it was just so
then
insane.
Then we have to get into the salary cap?
These people are like, we really? Came here to get away from sports and real people.
Yeah, yeah, totally. It's infectious because we're sitting in front of a baseball stadium. Is that what they're called, stadiums?
Sure.
Yeah. I almost said, we're sitting in front of a baseball rink.
I would watch it if it was in a rink.
Wouldn't that be amazing?
Yeah, game? Better.
All right. Well, listen, we're almost out of time anyway, as it turns out, because we've got the Michael C. Hall interview next. Adam Sessler from G4 is coming by. Seth Green.
You got a lot of guests.
Seth Rogen, Will Ferrell. It's going to be an action-packed show down here in San Diego, and we will be seeing you around. I'm sure you're going to have a great weekend.
I am. I'm going to be around. Saturday, I'll be doing a panel in Hall H if you guys want.
Hall H, what time?
That's 7 o'clock.
7 o'clock.
7
beautiful.
O'clock.
Well, have a wonderful time. I'm sure
you as well. You guys enjoy. Get out and see the con. Don't just be here behind the desk. Go,
yeah,
go
get,
touch
get on the floor.
People. Yeah, get on the floor,
I was touching the people yesterday. There's a lot of them.
There's a bunch.
It's fascinating.
Yeah.
It's great.
Let's hear it for Kevin Smith for stopping by the Kevin and Bean Show. Thank you, Kevin.
Folks. Thank you, guys.
Hey. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and it's 28 minutes after 7 o'clock.
Kevin Smith can't leave.
I know.
They won't let him go.
He's very popular. He's very popular.
He's just doing nothing but taking pictures.
You are listening to the Kevin Amin Show, Comic-Con 2010, day two of our extensive coverage. We are live here in San Diego.
Day two of my extensive coverage, by the way. You just got here today, so I don't want to hear about it, man.
We were on the air yesterday talking about stuff and
barely.
Having lots of guests.
You were ignoring me. I was asking, hey, guys, remember me? And no one was listening to me.
Ralph has been working hard down here, and one of the panels that you were very much looking forward to again this year, a repeat performance for you, was the Dexter panel.
Yeah, this is the second year I've been able to moderate the panel for Dexter, and yesterday we had Michael C. Hall, of course.
If you haven't seen Dexter, maybe you don't have Showtime. You know, it's out on DVD.
No excuse.
No, I'm saying it's out on DVD. Get all three seasons.
There's four seasons.
Four seasons. It is one of the best TV shows ever made.
Season 4's box set comes out August 17th. That's when that'll be available.
I'm not getting paid to say that.
New season starts September 26th.
Liar. So I'm not getting paid to say this. So great.
It is one of the best shows on television, and it gets better and better every year. And it was, I think, at its best last year with John Lithgow as the villain of the piece, I guess you could say, and Michael C. Hall. Jennifer Carpenter, Michael's real-life wife, who plays his sister in the show, was also there. James Remar, who plays his father, who's constantly appearing as a ghost.
He's starting to annoy me.
To remind him to stick with the code.
He needs to stop. Stop talking to me, Dad.
The writers and producers of the show were all there. And the fans for that show are passionate, I'll tell you. The people, it was like 4,000 fans showed up.
All killers. By the way.
There are some spooky people who are Dexter fans, by the way. But before we went out and did the show, I had a chance to talk with Mike a little bit backstage. And I figured we'd get some tape and then be able to play it here on the show. So this is me talking to Michael C. Hall about the upcoming season of Dexter.
Michael, thanks for taking some time to talk to us.
My pleasure.
Last season, maybe the best season ever of Dexter. It's hard to say. It's always been a great show, but you guys really outdid yourselves.
Yeah, I mean, bringing John Lithgow on board was a dream for me as an actor. I mean, I don't know. I think it'll remain one of the highest of highlights to have shared that screen time with him and to have, you know, built that insane relationship that existed between Dexter and Trinity. We would, like, just burst out into hysterical laughter, like when we do the darkest scenes. Like that day we were doing the Thanksgiving scene, you know, where he calls his wife a C and all that stuff. We would just, I mean, we were literally giddy at how absurd it all was, you know. But it was, yeah. And that finale was a shocker for sure.
I didn't catch the finale. Did I miss anything? Did anything happen at the end?
There's one small detail that you might want to fill yourself in on before you move into season 5, yeah.
What's it like with Julie gone? I was thinking for you it must be like being the quarterback of a Super Bowl team and then suddenly your star wide receiver is missing this season. It's got to be strange.
It is, you know. I certainly could appreciate the degree to which the relationship with Rita, that life, those kids, you know, were the center of Dexter's world. But now that it's been taken away, I really, you know, I guess I sound like talking about somebody who's no longer alive, but it really is, it's huge. It's such a fundamental change. And you know, her blood is, to a degree, on his hands, you know.
Literally, at the end there.
Yeah, literally and figuratively. And his indulgence in the sort of relationship with Trinity, the fact that he didn't kill him right away, is what led to, you know, the situation he finds himself in now.
It certainly does open things wide open this season for Dexter really to go in any direction now that this major change has happened in his life. Does that kind of free up the creative team to maybe explore some new avenues?
I think so. I mean, we get a lot of questions. It's like, how are you going to top season 4? And boy, you guys are in trouble. But I think the flip side of that is there's this enormous opportunity for new things to be explored. You know, while it was really sad to see Julie go as a colleague and a friend, as an actor, I'm really excited about the new landscape that exists for Dexter and how it will, you know, push him into new places, undercover things that would have stayed covered otherwise. So it's juicy stuff.
Dexter as single dad is something I don't think I ever would have imagined at the beginning of the season last year.
Yeah, I think that goes for you and Dexter. He's, you know, obviously in uncharted waters. He has his foster sister, Deb, who obviously as his only immediate family is stepping up to help. They end up hiring a nanny who is going to be helping, but there's nothing like having a wife who'll cover for you and perhaps even turn a blind eye from time to time to your nocturnal activities. He doesn't quite have that anymore, so yeah, it's a internal emotional nightmare, but it's a logistical nightmare too.
And the guest star lineup this season has expanded even more than usual. You've got, you know, three or four people coming on, all amazing actors, all bringing something new to the table. That's got to be fun as an actor, too, to get to have new playmates in the sandbox.
It's so, you know, amazing to, you know, from Jimmy Smith to John, and this year we have Julia Stiles, Johnny Lee Miller is joining us. The list goes on, and the fact that we do something that the acting community responds to and that actors of their caliber, you know, are inspired to join us, it's a thrill, you know?
Well, you know, everybody on our show are huge fans, and we can't wait for September 26th, so thanks for taking some time.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks for watching.
A trillion is more than a billion, numbnuts.
All right, zip it.
You can't even...
Zip it.
Look.
When a problem comes along, you must zip it.
Back off my jock, okay, Dinkus? Dinkus?
Yeah, yeah, and they also have an orange Julius.
What do you want from me, you beaver? What, an autograph? A headshot? Well, unless you can trade me a clean cup of urine, you can forget it.
Sometimes I just miss the world.
What do you miss the most?
But
Seth Green.
Seth Green?
Seth Green.
He's a star of television and film. You might recognize him from such things as Buffy the Vampire Slayer or Austin Powers. He's also in The Family Guy, and he's a co-creator of his own show, Robot Chicken. Ladies and gentlemen, my friend, Seth Green!
Seth Green joins us here. Live from San Diego Comic-Con 2010, you're listening to the Kevin Amin Show. Seth, I can't believe this hour of the day how much you sound like Chris from Family Guy. This is the sweet spot for that voice.
It's true.
How you doing, buddy?
We were up all night drinking.
Oh. Is that the secret to Chris?
That's the secret to doing the voice?
No, that is the secret to Comic-Con Thursday, though.
When you sat down with and pulled out your phone and started showing us all the photos of the stuff you did last night, I swear to God, you're like a little kid at Christmas. You're so excited to be here.
It's like Christmas, yeah. Christmas for nerds.
Christmas for nerds. That's exactly what it is. Now, you're here because you got the Robot Chicken panel, right? You're part of the big Adult Swim event happening.
This is a big year for us, actually. My partner, Matt.
Hey, Matt.
And I.
Yeah.
Matt's co-creator, Robot Chicken.
Microphone on?
Is it?
There we go. It's a really big year. We're in our fifth season of Robot Chicken. We have a third Star Wars special coming out before the end of the year. We have two exclusive toys at Comic-Con. We have our toy at the Entertainment Earth booth today.
Right. Yeah. Look at that.
We're going to be signing this today.
Some of these guys are going to roll you for that toy. Don't hold that up like
mine.
That.
No, I brought this for Ralph.
Yeah, this is mine. I'm adding to my...
That's my nerd payola.
Now, why are you still calling...
You got to get in line, dude.
And you have to get abreast.
Why are you still calling Matt your partner? I thought you guys got married.
Yeah, no, we got married, but it's not legal, you know. Damn the establishment.
That's too bad.
By the way, I'm also very disappointed that you don't refer to it as you should, as the Emmy-nominated Robot Chicken. That's how you should always mention Robot Chicken.
We're actually multiple Emmy-winning.
Yeah.
But it's
in really funny categories like costume design. You know?
Tell them about the Emmy. Seriously.
Oh, yeah, okay. We got nominated for the show this year for an Emmy.
Yeah.
Like, best show.
Well deserved.
I just think that's really funny.
Why?
Because the Emmys are meant to be, like, a prestigious organization.
For real shows.
Like, an award that they give out to things like Mad Men or, I guess, even 30 Rock. And
we make a 15-minute ad-sponsored cable toy show that's on at 11:30 on Sunday night. So
somebody like,
they're like, here, take this award. And we're like, all right, I guess.
Are you stunned that you're in your fifth season now? I mean,
yeah.
You never could have imagined that. And you probably wouldn't have started if you'd have known how much stuff you were going to have to come up with to keep it on the air that long.
It is a lot of work, but I love making it. And it's really just us making a show with our friends about nerdy stuff that we like. So that's a dream job.
I don't understand why they pay us to make, you know, a show about toys.
I mean, they don't pay as much. But
yeah, that's true.
And you guys have Titan going on as well?
Yes. This is exciting. So we made a show called Titan Maximum. Ralph actually did some work on it with us. We just won an Emmy for, no joke, costume design on Titan.
What? You win costume design with everything you do?
Well, I guess we do.
Look what a sharp dressed guy he is.
We make really good costumes.
Apparently so. Wow. So,
wait, how long have you guys been down here?
Ralph's been here since Wednesday night. We got here yesterday.
Yeah. Have you noticed preview night is like Friday night, and last night was like Saturday now?
Exactly.
I don't know what the hell is going on.
Who's not in the preview night? How special is this?
Everyone's like, I've got an exhibitor badge. I'm like, you used to actually have to exhibit to get in here.
What will you try to see and do while you're at Comic-Con, besides your own stuff?
It's really hard to walk the floor these days. My favorite thing is to just walk the floor and see all this stuff, but I look exactly like me.
Yeah.
I've got hits in like 8 different directions, and so from little kids to elderly people, it's like body snatchers. Just run as fast as I can.
Seth told me he's really trying to see the bottom of a whiskey bottle.
I say that's what he's trying to see.
I've seen that several times.
That was his goal last night.
We had a really awesome time at that party last night. There was the Lucasfilm G4 party, and I can't even. I saw Joss Whedon there. Yeah, like, it was just cool. A really good party.
And by the way, it's weird. It still has to be weird for you that you're kind of friends with George Lucas now.
Yeah.
I mean, that's like, you
he's
know the dude.
It's pretty cool.
Now, is he in your cell phone? Do you know him that well?
I mean,
could you call him right now?
I could call his
assistant.
I'm not
going to ask you.
You could call his assistant.
And I could schedule a call and be like, hey, Jane, can I get George maybe at like 7:30?
Okay. That's pretty good. That's still pretty cool, right?
And then perhaps.
It's better than us.
It might be like, you know.
Thank you for self-editing.
I tried to.
I appreciate that. You didn't really fully self-edit. No.
He let you get married at his joint, right?
No, but he came to our wedding, which confused a lot of people.
George Lucas was at your wedding?
Yeah.
I thought you did get married at his place.
No, we got married outside of San Francisco, but he was there.
Near.
But if you saw him there, it was really cool because everybody wanted to talk to him. And he's such a normal dude that he's just like hanging out, you know. Eating and stuff.
He was eating. Oh, yeah.
But and everyone wants to talk to him.
But people were really afraid to like go up and talk to him. It was one of those situations where I realized I was going to be the guy who was just constantly talking to him because everyone else was afraid.
But even better, he sees Matt. He's like, Matt, come and sit with me, please.
I was like, okay.
You need a buffer? What kind of a gift does George Lucas give you when you get married?
This is no joke. George bought us the Dyson. The Dyson ball vacuum.
That's an exclusive right here at Comic-Con. You don't hear that anywhere else.
And I even asked his kids. I'm like, did you guys pick that out? Did somebody pick that out? And they were like, no, Dad got that. And when we asked him, we're like, yo, dude, the Dyson. And he was like, why? You got to keep the house clean.
That's how good of friends you guys are.
If I thought it was like a lightsaber handle on the end of it or something. It's a much cooler version.
If you are lucky enough to have tickets, you're coming down to join us at Comic-Con 2010. Don't miss Seth Green on the Adult Swim panel. That is going to be this afternoon starting at 4:30. And then you got a Family Guy panel, and that is going to be tomorrow night at 11. Family Guy.
It's at 11?
11 p.m.
That's madness. That's craziness.
So we'll take a quick break. Seth Green is here. We'll return with more from San Diego right after this on the Kevin and Bean Show. What is 6.7 K-Rock? What just happened? 106.7 K-Rock? KROQ at 7:58. We are live in San Diego. It's the Kevin and Bean Show for Comic-Con 2010. Our friend Seth Green, ladies and gentlemen, is here.
Green.
From the robot, the Emmy-nominated and Emmy-winning robot Chicken. Time for Ralph and the Showbiz Beat. Adam Sessler from G4 talking about what he's got going on at Comic-Con coming up after the top of the hour. Seth Rogen, the Green Hornet himself, will be here.
Wait, let me point out that Seth Rogen and I are not the same guy.
Oh, what? Do you don't think that sometimes?
I know physically we're so similar.
Yeah.
But I've had dozens of people be like, I'm so excited about Green Hornet, dude. I'm like, yeah, me too.
Me too.
Anyway, all of that coming up. And, of course, we are broadcasting live right in front of the garage where the Green Hornet's cars are being kept, which is pretty amazing. And they're going to open that up for people to get in and check it out here in just a few minutes, too. So that's cool. Ralph Garman, ready for the showbiz beat?
I do want to mount twin machine guns on the front of my car now. That's given me an idea.
That is pretty cool, right?
I don't think that's street legal, though.
It might help you get through traffic.
Clearing the 405.
Yeah.
Since we are Comic-Con, let's talk about some Comic-Con news, shall we? Joss Whedon yesterday confirmed that he's going to be the director for the upcoming Avengers movie, which will be pretty awesome. And probably mean a job for our buddy Seth Green.
I think we're looking at the new Bruce Banner right now.
That. Wouldn't that be awesome?
You'd be Bruce Banner.
Yeah, I don't really buy me as the Hulk, but thanks for the support, guys.
Bruce Banner?
You could be Bruce Banner.
I could be. You guys, I've got cactus gamma ray. The radiation is overtaking me. I'm such a meek and feeble scientist. Oh, no, I'm hulking out.
See, there's a lot
there
of
scenes
right there. I hope
God is listening. We wouldn't like you when you're angry.
You would not like me when I'm angry. Please, I'm just trying to find peace.
Guillermo del Toro announced yesterday he is directing a new version of The Haunted Mansion for Disney. It's not connected to the Eddie Murphy version whatsoever. This will be a reimagining of the Haunted Mansion ride.
You can't improve on perfection. There's no reason to tie it back into the Eddie Murphy one.
They're going to run out of rides against eventually at Disneyland, and then what are they going to do? How are they going to make movies then once they run out of rides?
Matt and I are really we're pitching a teacups movie.
Oh, it's going to be awesome.
That's a good one.
I just auditioned for Mr. Toad last week, so I'm hoping. Yeah,
it's
got to
be
back.
A reimagining though.
Also. This is the scary part, this story. Apparently the Teamsters are still considering going out on strike next week when their contract expires with producers. This is about 4,000 drivers and a bunch of other technicians and people who work on movie and TV sets. There's not much difference between what the Teamsters are asking for and what they're being offered. Apparently they want a 3% wage hike. Producers are only offering a 2% wage hike.
Well,
so if they go out on strike over that, that would be a real shame.
And you bring this up because that would literally bring television and movie production to a halt if there's no Teamsters?
Yeah.
All the drivers.
They can't make anything anymore, right?
Yeah.
We'd have to carry it all ourselves.
And that's not going to happen.
Would you imagine actors carrying things themselves?
I can't carry the stuff the Teamsters carry. They're really strong.
They're pretty big.
I heard Seth Green in the song say F the Teamsters is the words that I heard coming out of his
mouth.
That's really surprising.
No. That's a parody ironic song that we're releasing as a benefit to raise money and awareness for the Teamsters.
I see.
Excellent.
All right.
It's in the voice of the producers.
I got you.
You know what I'm saying? It's an interpretive art piece.
And Lindsay Lohan had a visitor at Lynnwood Correctional Facility. Her ex-girlfriend Samantha Ronson popped by.
Yeah.
Apparently she wanted a point and laugh. I guess that's why she came by. And her manager, Lou Taylor, also stopped by and put some money in her commissary account, which is nice.
Oh, how about that?
You can get some good deals at Lynnwood.
A bag
of pork rinds is like $1.50 or something. Huh. So
I think
they
have that
same, dollar goes
like,
a long way.
Chew cookie for a dollar deal at Subway.
Exactly. Now only have to keister one of the cookies. That's the only problem.
Ralph, if Lindsay weren't in the Gray Bar Hotel, she would probably be in San Diego right now for the Machete promotion.
That's
she would
right.
Have probably been at that big party last night for Machete, right?
She probably would have been.
Yeah, because she's in the movie.
Missed out on my chance to.
Airtight.
Airtight indeed, Michael.
Thank you. Today's celebrity birthdays. Woody Harrelson's 49 years old today. Martin Gore of Depeche Mode, also 49. Slash of Guns N' Roses and Velvet Revolver's 45. Philip Seymour Hoffman turns 43 years old today. Omar Epps is 37. Michelle Williams from Destiny's Child is 30. Daniel Radcliffe, Harry Potter himself, is 21 years old today.
Go get him, ladies.
Charisma Carpenter.
Oh, how about
that? Charisma.
Yeah.
Charisma.
She's 40 years old today.
She is not.
You going to text her or something, Seth?
Yeah.
She's 40?
Charisma Carpenter is 40 years old.
She looks awesome.
She looks amazing.
Yeah.
And that's it. Enough, Carmen.
Let's say goodbye to Seth Green, who's taking the leave of us now. He's going back to sleep, I imagine.
No. You're back-to-back interviews.
He's up all day.
You're awesome for coming by, man. We really appreciate it.
Thanks, guys. Good to see you at Comic-Con.
I'll be back with more on The Kevin Amici Show.
All right, come on. Let's get this song over with. Come on. We got stuff to do. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It's 9 minutes after 8 o'clock.
You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show live from San Diego for Comic-Con 2010. Who's got the G4? Let me hear. Show of hands. Let's hear it. G4. The host and editor-in-chief of X-Play is Adam Sessler.
Here's what I know. A show of hands for
a
radio
not
show.
Not really good on the radio.
It's not translated.
A lot of that, as I was saying. Adam
Sessler.
I think
there were five.
Joins us here on The Kevin and Bean Show. Adam, great to see you again, my friend. How are you?
I'm doing well. It's good to actually see you, Bean.
Yes, in person.
It's amazing. You are as devastatingly handsome as I thought.
Thank you very much. I'm usually a hologram. I'm not usually in person. I would have thought that E3 would have killed you, and you would not have even wanted to come within 100 miles of Comic-Con. But you're a trooper, man.
It killed me, but I'm such a believer in zombification that I'm able to rise once again from the dead and make it down to San Diego.
Excellent. Did you see all the zombies walking around the streets last night?
Yes.
Everywhere.
It's just, it's like, where's my chainsaw? That's the first thought.
Now, you had an X-Play panel yesterday.
Yes, we did. It was
we thought we knew what we were going to do, and then it kind of went crazy. Blair Herder, who works on the show, by probably the second half hour, we were shaving his chest.
Yeah.
Up on the stage.
Glendale.
Well, that's a little different than you would have thought, right?
Yeah, it was a little bit different. I was realized I could use a sweater, and so it all worked out in my favor.
Okay,
but
good.
It was fun. It was a lot of fun to see all those fans and to realize, okay, yeah, I guess when I'm talking into the camera, there is someone watching.
There's somebody there.
He's also going to be at the Gears of War panel, and I said, where? When? And he said, I don't know.
I know it's at 6:30, and it is in a room.
6:30 this afternoon?
Yes.
Okay, good.
So we'll be
in a room.
In a room with Cliff Bleszinski and Rob Ferguson, who are making the game. It's looking really good. Just the mere fact that we finally have four-player co-op, which is what everyone has wanted with the game, that right there gives me a reason to go like, yay, I have a chainsaw in my gun.
How much...
yay, I have a chainsaw in my gun.
You don't hear that very often.
Not very often.
What, if you can put a percentage on it, how much of Comic-Con is devoting space to games now? Is that a large component? Or?
I wouldn't say it's the largest, but it's the first time after E3 when the general public, not sort of, you know, obnoxious people like me, get to play games.
You pros.
And you know, really, the intersection of comic books and pop culture and games... No one's just a gamer and doesn't go see movies and doesn't read a comic book. That it really makes sense that all those things are there together because it's all part of the same fandom.
Tell me about Epic Mickey, which I know is going to be one of the big breakout talking points of this convention.
Yeah, I mean, I am such a cranky pants. I think people are surprised that I'm so enthusiastic about a game with Mickey Mouse in it, but it's really neat. It's being made by a guy named Warren Spector, who's very famous for making a much more hardcore adult game called Deus Ex, which really kind of revolutionized game design. He has always loved animation. He and I have always sort of had a friendship surrounding animation, and he got the opportunity to actually make a game with Mickey Mouse, and it's not like your typical Mickey Mouse
game. Is it for kids?
It's for kids and adults. And there's so many small references all around the game if you've, you know, sort of remember Mickey Mouse from your youth. And it feels like the older Disney. Like, I used to get very scared of Pinocchio because it's absolutely scary. And it has some of the, you know, that dark and some of the cunning that used to be with Mickey Mouse.
So scare the hell out of the kids?
I don't think, no, it's definitely not going to scare any kids, but it's got something that doesn't feel, I guess, as saccharine as you would expect.
I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but everything Disney does is right.
Oh, yeah. I would never say a bad word about Disney under threat of litigation. Absolutely.
Okay. All right.
Now, Mickey Mouse, though, perhaps one of the most famous comic book characters of all time, has been dormant for some time. This is the first new Mickey project in a very long time,
exactly.
Right?
And I think the thing is that Mickey Mouse actually is very tricky as a personality and what sort of he became from where he started. And they really are trying to bring it back to what the original Mickey Mouse was. And actually, Oswald the Rabbit, the original character that Disney created, is going to be incorporated in the game. And I believe this would be the first time ever that Oswald would actually be part of something Disney.
I don't understand any of what he just said.
And this is a game for Wii, right?
Yes, it is for the Wii.
I sense from you, from watching the show and from talking to you, Adam, that you have been underwhelmed by the games that have come out for Wii because it's such amazing technology. It doesn't seem like they've really capitalized on it as much as they could.
Yeah, and you know, and this is the same concerns I have with Microsoft's Kinect and Sony's Move, is that the concept of the technology is really, really cool. But then you also have to find enough creative people that know what they want to do with it, that you can't just throw the technology out there and think it's going to make a game all by itself. You need to have people that are like, hey, I want someone to play my game by waving their hand around. And there's a handful of people out there that really do understand it. But you know, because the Wii's so popular, people are just trying to shove something onto the system, hoping that someone will buy it.
The Sony Kinect that you mentioned, by the way, is that the one where you can change channels and whatnot with your hand, just waving your hand in the air?
Yes, because the remote is... I keep on pulling this muscle. I'm so glad someone finally has an answer for that problem.
Do you have to wave your hand like you just don't care?
Exactly. No.
Hey, we have a bone to pick with you, if you don't mind.
Yes,
apparently
someone.
Psycho Mike sitting right down there.
So last week I was filling in for Sal Masekela on the Daily 10 on E,
uh-huh.
And I'm in. And I love, for those of you who don't know, G4 and E are in the same building. And
it is easily one of the most bizarre, you know, conflict. Yeah, we have E people and G4 people sit amongst each other,
yeah.
And so you can see where the toys are.
Yes,
and that means it's a G4 person, and then you don't see where the toys are.
You see the nothing but the ridiculously impossibly hot people that work at E, and it's a very weird mixture. And I was coming out of the wardrobe area, and I come around the corner, and there's Mr. Sessler, and I'm like so excited. And unlike Bean, I am in the studio all the time, and Mr. Sessler, I think, knows what I look like.
Sure.
So I say, hey.
He's seen you many times.
I go, hey, Sess, what's up? And as if I had smallpox on my hand, Adam Sessler walks by me and just looks at my hand, not extending it at all,
oh, don't
and walks
hug him
right
now.
By me.
Harg,
I'm going to give
don't
you a
hug. Don't hug him now. So he left a brother hanging?
No, there's left a brother hanging where it's like, I can't, like there might not have been time enough to react. Then there's totally big timing someone,
wow.
Which he did.
on his home court.
I'm so
like,
sorry.
Who do you think you are?
Usually, if I'm in that studio area, like I'm like, I don't want to look at my BlackBerry because there's probably three emails telling me that everything that I had been planned for the next 3 days is completely just. You
are people not allowed to look you in the eye? Is that the deal you have?
No. No one just wants to look me in the eye. It's weird. If somebody wants to say hi to me there, I'm like, oh god, they're mistaking me
but
for someone else.
He said hi to you.
I know. The words were, I was like, Sess, what's up? Those were my exact words.
So the sense I get, Psycho Mike, if I'm understanding your story correctly, is his attitude was, I don't have time for you, radio boy.
Yeah.
Basically is what it was.
A fist came out of the wall and actually punched me out of the blue. I was like, what's this happening?
All right. I think you need to come on to X Play, and I will just, I'll give you your day in the sun in the space that you so definitely own with the video games.
Consider done.
He doesn't need that.
More FaceTime for me.
He doesn't need that. He just needs you to say hi. Just don't be a dick.
I'll spend the entire show going, hi, Mike. Hi, Mike. Hi, Mike.
Just don't be a dick. That's all we're saying, Adam.
Just saying don't be a dick.
Okay. I'm going to have that tattooed right here on my arm that I'll be waving when I'm using Kinect going, oh, yeah, don't be a dick. Don't be a dick.
Tip for the Adam Sessler is our guest. He's the host and editor-in-chief of X-Play on G4, which airs weeknights at 6:30. Lots of coverage from down here at Comic-Con all weekend long.
Obviously, there's going to be a big live show, 4 hours. Kevin Pereira is going to, he's going to kill himself on this one.
Right.
4 hours straight from noon till 4. Obviously, that's specific, so just add 3 hours in the end.
Okay, beautiful. Adam, thanks for coming down, man. Great to see you.
Oh, my pleasure.
See you. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and it is 26 minutes after 8 o'clock. We are live in San Diego, Comic-Con 2010. Ralph Garman here, Green Hornet fan number one. The Green Hornet himself, ladies and gentlemen, Seth Rogen.
Yeah!
Very exciting.
Thank you. And by the way, we are right in front of Britt Reed's Garage, which is something they have set up here steps away from the convention center in San Diego for Comic-Con 2010. And all of all your cars that you drive in the movie and costumes and motorcycles and everything else right in the room right behind us.
I know. They're really making a big to-do, which is quite nice because it means that they're not humiliated by the movie, which
and,
is fantastic.
And by the way, this is a special tip for those of you here in front of us in the Kevin and Bean Show. Immediately after this interview, run to the theater and buy tickets because this movie does open January 14th.
Okay? Exactly.
So, seriously, you got to get them now while they're hot.
I would get them and get in line now, too, just in case.
Start camping out.
You want good seats.
Ron, haven't you been talking to us about the Green Hornet movie for about 2 years?
Yeah. It is one of the great properties that really hasn't been touched since the 60s. I guess that was the last time there was a version of Green Hornet. And then Kevin Smith famously had a run at it. He wrote a screenplay. It didn't really happen. And now Seth finally made it happen. He and his partner Evan put it together and wrote the script. What was the... Did you watch the 60s show at all? Did you know the Bruce Lee version?
I did. I was a big Batman fan, and the Green Hornet came on right after Batman.
Remember that episode where they meet, where Batman and the Green Hornet team
They do, and they pop their head out the window as they're climbing, and then Robin and Kato fight.
Yeah, that's awesome.
And it's a tie. That's the crazy, like, Kato couldn't beat the crap out of
it's
Robin.
A tie.
That's a joke. But the guy's name is Robin.
Say no more.
He's named after a dainty bird. It was always, and Bruce Lee, I was a big martial arts fan always. I got my butt kicked a lot in school, so I took karate. So I was always.
Are you a black belt now?
I dropped out a long time. I'm not a violent person. But I was always a big fan of Bruce Lee and all that, so it was always something that was kind of a part of our consciousness, I would say. And then when, me and Evan had always wanted to write a movie about a hero and the sidekick and kind of that relationship always seemed really funny and interesting to us. And then this kind of seemed like the perfect movie to write into that.
Doesn't it seem, if you grow up watching it and loving it, doesn't it seem like you're biting off more than you can chew maybe? Like almost it's too much to handle because you might ruin it?
I live dangerously, my friend.
You know what I mean?
That's just how I roll. I go haphazard. Honestly, I mean, we really, as writers, tried to take the things that people know and like about the original, the things like the gas gun and Kato and the car, and incorporate them, but in a way that if you had never heard of the Green Hornet, hopefully it all makes sense, and we're kind of trying to reintroduce it. Yeah, exactly.
We're used to the idea of Seth Rogen as Green Hornet now, but at the time it was announced, how do you think it went over?
I don't think I could use the word on the radio. Exactly how it went.
Less
over.
Than well.
Less than well. Skeptically? Is that a word?
And what was that like for you to be really into this, passionate about it, and then have so many people who are armchair movie makers who go, Seth Rogen, he can't be the Green Hornet?
Honestly, it was not at all surprising. I'm the exact type of person to hate everything everyone else does. So
it's only fair then.
Exactly.
So you're good with it?
I hate every movie I haven't seen. So I knew I would be, honestly be one of those people who was saying that about me if I didn't, in fact, know the type of
version of it that we were going for, and we kind of just had to sit on our hands and make the movie and show stuff to people and hope that they liked what they saw, and we knew that would kind of be the only way to ultimately convince people that we were making a cool movie.
Is your Britt Reed cool, or is he dorky, and then he becomes cool when he says the Green Hornet? Or tell me a little bit about the two faces of that character.
The two faces? He's kind of a party, drunken fool, which heavily relate to in a lot of ways. When we find him, he's, you know, his father owns a newspaper, and he's just a wealthy, kind of irresponsible guy, and we kind of modeled him after some of the famous children of very rich, intelligent people that are in our society today.
All of them.
All of them, but kind of a male version, which we don't have. And then slowly, I realized that I should probably pull my head out of my butt and do something good. And
do
and
we
I,
see that on screen?
We see me literally extract my head from my butt.
Right. Is, in 3D, which is great.
In 3D, right. Finally. Yeah. No CG, all practical, which is pretty. It took me 6 months to learn how to do that. But
gotta be flexible.
It's worth it. Smell my head if you don't believe me. Yeah.
That should be the Green Hornet t-shirt.
Exactly.
Flex line. Smell my
Smell
head.
My head. Smell my head.
Were there times making the Green Hornet, Seth, when you thought, this isn't like Pineapple Express or Funny People or something like this, where you have people sitting around talking. This is a real honest-to-goodness action movie where I have to do crazy, dangerous stuff. And
yeah.
Lots of, you know, hundreds of people standing around waiting for it to happen.
Yeah, I mean, we drive cars through buildings.
Yeah.
And we blow up entire gigantic structures. And honestly, as scary as the writer, because I'm just so afraid someone's going to get hurt for this dumb movie that we wrote. That's constantly the fear that I have is, man, just I hope
not yourself,
get,
but other people.
Well, yeah, exactly. I'm more afraid. I'm a little more afraid that I'll get hurt than other
you
people
are, okay.
Instinctually, because I care more about me than others.
Right. Yeah.
But once I get over that fear, then it's fun. You drive cars in elevators and stuff. It's crazy.
Was there stuff that as the actor you were cursing Seth Rogen, the writer, for making you do that thing?
One thing I'm constantly amazed by in movies is how comfortable they're putting you close to a gigantic explosion.
And
you see everyone else in tons of safety equipment, like suits of armor, this like Teflon face mask and stuff, and I'm in like a suit and a tie
and a fedora.
In this giant explosion. Yeah. Will the fedora make my head not get blown off? Something special in this fedora to keep my flesh on my skull? I hope so.
We are talking to Seth Rogen. He is, of course, the star and co-writer of The Green Hornet, which comes out right around the corner, January 14th, 2011. And by the way, great to cast. I mean, Tom Wilkinson playing your dad.
Yeah.
Is there a better actor out there than Tom? He's unbelievable.
He's really awesome, and it was very intimidating and scary to have him be my father. My real father has very little weight and gravity to him as a person, so I could see for a moment what it would be like to grow up with a scary father and not a marshmallowy one.
How tough was it to find your Kato?
Kato was tough because, you know, I think Kato in a lot of ways is more famous than the Green Hornet, and we had to make sure that Kato was a lot cooler than me for that reason. You know, a lot of the kind of the idea of the movie is that I make him the sidekick, but when you see him, he clearly should not be the sidekick. He should be partners, if not the leader.
You're basically his bitch.
Exactly. So
he does the heavy lifting in this crime fighting duo.
The thing about the TV show we always saw is the Green Hornet would come into a room and then Kato would kick the crap out of everyone. And then the Green Hornet would say something cool and then they would leave. And the next scene, Kato would just be bringing me coffee all the time. That's always what he did. That was where his two main responsibilities was beating the crap out of people and making beverages for Britt Reed.
All right.
And
I think you picked the right character then.
Exactly. I picked the good one. But we found this guy. We found him. Jay Chou. He's like one of the most famous people in Asia. He's a pop star. He's from Taiwan. And he's really cool. He's like Steve McQueen. He just does everything cool. And for someone who does nothing cool, it was marvelous to see someone just do things in a cool. He would drink his water cool. He would take the lid off it in a cool way. He would kind of spin around and put it down. And I spill all over myself. So it was, I think we're a good balance.
If you are coming down to Comic-Con 2010, don't miss the Green Hornet panel. That is going to be this afternoon from 4 till 6 in Hall H. Seth Rogen is our guest. We'll return more live from San Diego on the Kevin and Bean Show right after this. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show live from San Diego, Comic-Con 2010, The Green Hornet. We are right in front of Britt Reed's garage right here. Seth Rogen, a man who took the Green Hornet job away from an American who should have had that job.
Yeah.
You're sitting here with us.
Damn foreigners.
Yeah, you're right. right. We outsourced it.
That's why we have double-digit unemployment, because exactly. The Canadians are coming in and taking all our jobs.
I got paid 12 cents a day to make this movie.
And your friend Will Ferrell joins us next hour with Adam McKay, by the way. They're going to be coming in.
That's awesome. They're a lot funnier than me, so you guys are in for a treat.
Speaking of the Green Hornet, you mentioned that you were aware of it from the time you were a little kid. You were a geek. You grew up comic book geek. Who were your favorites as a young Seth Rogen?
Well, as a Canadian, Wolverine is someone that I've always been partial
to. Let me fix this if you don't mind.
Oh, no. Fix my mouthpiece. There you go. Right. That was nice.
Were you a Marvel guy versus a DC guy?
I was. I like Batman, but other than that, I think Marvel kind of kicks DC's ass in most ways. Especially recently. The Siege was pretty good. I thought The Siege was good. But the Countdown Crisis, not so much. So,
What about Darkest Night? Blackest Night and Brightest Day, the Geoff Johns stuff.
Yeah. It's okay. No, yeah, they've been doing good stuff. Like the Green Lantern Corps have been pretty good. Yeah.
Some of that I stuff don't know the word pretty good.
Hey, it's Comic-Con. We're allowed to have this conversation.
Yeah, exactly. If ever you are. Right.
We are the outsiders.
But the thing is, Marvel just has way better writers, I think. That's true. Yep. They get good guys.
The guys that wrote the Green Hornet, I hear they're great.
They are pretty good. Yeah. I'd like to talk more about comic books.
So are you – I just asked Ralph this question off the air just this week. How many titles do you buy on a regular basis, comic books that you still read and keep up with?
Every week when I go to the store, it depends. I more follow writers than specific titles.
You still go every week to buy comics?
Yeah. But
Wednesday's new book day.
Yeah, man. Wednesday's new book day. I
new
usually
book
go,
day, baby.
I go Thursday to avoid the throngs. But I Garth Ennis is one of my favorite comic book writers. He writes a lot of Punisher comics. And
The Boys, of course.
Yeah, The Boys. Doing now. Daniel Way is good. He's been
Daniel
doing
Way.
The Wolverine comic. Ed Brubaker's obviously
Brubaker.
Really
you
rad.
Have to tell me.
Yeah, but I more just follow what stuff those guys write, and it kind of flows from character to character sometimes.
How about
but
Scott Pilgrim? You love that?
I do, and again, as a Canadian, I've always been a fan of it. That's been around quite a while, and I'm friends with all those guys. I'm excited to see that movie. That's supposed to be awesome.
Talking to Seth Rogen, of course, he is the Green Hornet, opening January 14th, 2011. We didn't get a chance to mention it last time, but Christoph Waltz also in the movie?
He sure is. He plays our villain.
Oscar-winning Christoph Waltz? He's
Oscar
amazing.
Oscar winner. We have several Oscar winners aboard this movie, which is really weird. I've never thought I'd work with anyone who even knew what an Oscar was.
Or someone named Oscar.
Yeah, exactly. I never even thought I'd get to work with a guy named Oscar. But, Christoph is really amazing. And very scary in real life also, but incredibly nice. And he plays our very strange villain, which I think is really going to be very exciting to a lot of people, because he definitely kicks ass. Even if you hate me, you got to like Christoph Waltz.
Since we're here in front of the Brit,
it's a hell of a sell.
Reed garage.
Exactly. Yeah, I got something for everyone.
Since we're here in front of the garage, the Black Beauty is maybe the second coolest crime-fighting car of all time after the Batmobile, I'm guessing.
It probably is. Well, it depends which. I think it is cooler than some of the Batmobiles that have been out
there. Yeah, it depends
there.
On which ones.
It's much better than the Batman and Robin Batmobile.
Yeah, that's for sure.
What is the Black Beauty do? What are its tricks?
It has a lot. I mean, we kind of wanted to really make sure that it felt very real and like something that could maybe actually be built in real life, and not try to use kind of technology that doesn't exist. You know, that's kind of like Iron Man has access to technology we don't. That's not what these guys do. They just kind of have access to money that most people don't. So we kind of just wanted it to do things you could potentially believe it could do. We have machine guns in the doors that you open and shoot. It has missiles. It has flamethrowers. It has...
Oh, I want to try that so bad.
Exactly, it has. But I think that's part of the fun of it, is that it doesn't do things that could never happen. I think what's cool about it is there's a lot of scenes where you really feel like you could be driving a car with machine guns on it.
And they actually let you drive that one, right? Because it's pretty beat up anyway, so how much damage could you do?
Exactly. I got to drive it a little bit, and it was one of the most fun things I've ever... I got to drive a car with machine guns on it.
Who
doesn't
want
to do that? Right. Exactly. Who outside of different... Yeah, I mean, in America, not a lot of people.
In Bryn Reed's garage, it looks like there are about a dozen beautiful cars. You don't drive all of those.
I don't. They're actually my dad's cars in the movie, and I lie to girls to get laid.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Tell them that they're mine.
And the motorcycle looks like it would be impossible to really drive on the street.
No, Kato, the guy, Jay Chow, who plays Kato, is actually a motorcycle enthusiast, and he can actually drive that motorcycle.
It's huge.
It's huge, and it's... The way you ride it is a cross between like a street bike and a Harley. They put it's if you know nothing about motorcycles, this is very boring, but it's incredibly complicated to ride, and they made it for the movie, and it's really awesome.
Well, I think they're going to open it up and let the crowd go in and actually walk around in Britt Reed's garage and actually see some of the stuff we'll see in the movie when it opens in January.
If anyone here steals a Black Beauty, you have my congratulations. I think you should all try to do it. Try to get one. I want to hear one of those things is stolen.
If you're coming down to Comic-Con 2010, don't miss Seth and the Green Hornet panel. It's going to be be this afternoon from 4 till 6.
Who's moderating, by the way? I heard someone very good.
I heard he's the best moderator.
I heard it's he's drunk.
I heard that guy dropped out and they got Ralph Berman.
How dare you say that?
Seth, awesome of you to stop by, man.
Thank you very much. Have Thanks, guys. Comic-Con. I appreciate that.
Seth Rogen, we'll be right back with more on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that happened.
Yep.
That sure just happened.
106.7 K-Rock, it's KROQ. It is 8:57.
This is the Kevin and Bean Show live in San Diego for Comic-Con 2010. The Green Hornets just arrived.
Yeah, there, they sure did.
Just about 20 of them in the tight little green dress.
Yeah.
here in front of Britt Reed's Garage celebrating the Green Hornet, our sponsors today. Will Ferrell joins us in a few minutes. Right now, Ralph's got the showbiz beat on a Friday. What's going on, Ralph?
Well, Lindsay Lohan's not the only one with legal problems. I don't know if you guys heard or not, but Michael Lohan, her dad, has just been charged with second-degree sexual harassment.
Oh, no.
Of whom?
Excuse me, not second-degree sexual harassment, second-degree harassment for allegedly attacking his fiancé.
Oh, no. Oh,
somebody's going to marry that dude?
Yeah. She claims she did not answer his phone call and he went crazy. She told the police, Michael flipped the sofa chair over while I was sitting in it, causing me to bump my head into the wall and my body to the floor. My left collarbone is sore, and my right knee is scraped.
That's not good.
He proceeded to throw a shoe at me.
Is there anyone left who will voluntarily talk to Michael Lohan? Because it does seem like he's having trouble.
He is running out of people, yeah. That's for sure. Meanwhile, Dina Lohan, the other half of the greatest parenting team in history,
yeah,
has said that her family is suffering with Lindsay in jail, not just because Lindsay's in jail, but her other daughter, Allie, and her two sons are being ridiculed by other children. It's not easy being us, says Dina Lohan.
Well, they shouldn't be them, then.
Dina's the worst of all of them, isn't she?
Yes, she is. She's pimped her kids out for years.
She's the worst.
So
she's the type of woman who would have a baby just to create another television star.
Well, look.
Sure.
Hey, it's Lisa May.
Hi, guys.
Hey, Lisa, how are you doing?
Lisa, okay. You should be here. You would love this so much.
I bet I would.
We're looking at a stormtrooper in a Hawaiian shirt right now.
Full stormtrooper. Hawaiian shirt.
Awesome.
Don't get it.
Comic-Con news, since we are here, it's only appropriate to talk about it. The biggest news, I guess, yesterday was the fact that Guillermo del Toro has announced he's going to be doing a movie for Disney called The Haunted Ride. Haunted Mansion, based on, of course, the ride from Disneyland. Here's the thing I didn't know about him. He is a huge, huge fan of this particular ride. His whole life he's been waiting to make this movie.
Really?
Yeah.
I thought that's the ride, no offense, Disneyland, but isn't that the ride you go to if everything else's lines are too long?
No, I love that ride.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
You get the ghost sitting next to you in the car and everything. Okay. It's cool. He says he has a room in his house with secret bookcases along with art and wallpaper from the original ride.
Wow.
A whole room dedicated just to the ride in his house.
He sounds like the right guy to
That's
be
a little freaky.
He's a nerd.
He is.
Yeah. And Justin Bieber.
Yeah. Any Justin Bieber fans here?
Anybody have the Bieber fever?
One. Okay, two.
Yeah.
No.
He has just got a gig. He is guest starring on CSI.
Well, there aren't any actors left.
I hope he plays a corpse.
So,
apparently, CBS says he will play a troubled teen who is faced with a terrible decision regarding which hair care products to use.
Wow, that
sounds
like
that sounds heartbreaking. Sounds like a very special episode. So
I watched the episode. I mean, maybe this stunt casting works. I am not a big CSI watcher, but I watched the Taylor Swift episode when she was on.
Yeah, but that's because she's hot.
Yeah, but I mean,
he's not.
But that's what they're doing is they're hoping to bring some new people under the tent because they're Bieber fans.
Yeah, wait, there's a tent? I have to go to a tent to watch this show?
That's
horrible. Take a look at today's celebrity birthday, shall we? Woody Harrelson is 49 years old today. Martin Gore of Depeche Mode is also 49. Slash from Guns N' Roses and Velvet Revolver is 45. Philip Seymour Hoffman celebrates his 43rd birthday. Omar Epps from House turns 37. Michelle Williams from Destiny's Child is 30. And Daniel Radcliffe, Harry Potter himself, celebrates his 21st birthday. Charisma Carpenter.
Yeah.
Yes.
Is 40 years old today. And Edie McClurg. One of my favorite character actresses celebrates her birthday today. She's 59.
Kevin, you would know her as the rental car agent in Planes, Trains, and Automobiles.
Oh, I love her.
Do you remember her?
As the
Ferris Bueller?
As the principal's secretary in Ferris Bueller?
I know both of
them. She's great
and
everything.
They think he's a righteous dude. My favorite lines ever. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
And we are live in San Diego for Comic-Con 2010. Hey, real quick, before I introduce the guest that the crowd in front of me already sees and knows how much they love.
Oh, this is going to be good.
I want to thank the official coffee sponsor of the Kevin DeBean Show, Don Francisco's Coffee, for providing coffee to the show. Will Ferrell, feel free to jump in on the Don Francisco's Coffee if you like. From green buying to roasting and packaging, Don Francisco's super high standards deliver delicious coffee every time. Go to tastedonfranciscos.com.
I was just handed this memo. Don Francisco was just shut down this morning.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear the bad news.
There's a bout of salmonella in the kitchen.
Oh, they're going to be so disappointed to hear that.
But they're great people.
You are listening to the Kevin DeBean Show. It is 9:07. Ladies and gentlemen, we're in Comic-Con. How about Will Ferrell and his close personal friend Adam McKay joining us from the Other Guys? How are you, boys? Good to see you.
Well, great.
Will, what
great
were you just signaling to the crowd there? Is it a middle finger?
Just greeting. No, just giving them a local San Diego salutation.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
You looked angry.
Well, you know what? These people are angry at me. We can feel it. There's a tension. They're looking
back
like they want to tear me apart.
They
you know
do.
What? Bring it on, okay? I'll wow. fight. I'll fight every single one of you.
So
all 15 of you.
Will and Adam are here. We're going to talk about the Other Guys.
I'm surprised you guys don't have security. You know, here.
We don't need security.
To keep the people back.
We didn't need security until you got here.
Okay, it's not a big crowd. We get it. We understand. We don't draw a big crowd, Will. We understand, movie star, okay?
We don't even need security with you.
I know.
That's an excellent point.
That? We don't need, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
So, Adam, you and Will have been the geniuses behind Step Brothers and Talladega Nights and Anchorman and now the Other Guys.
Yeah, we got a new one coming out. Feral with Guns.
Feral with Guns.
Yep.
The entire summary
That's
of the movie.
Pitch.
That's the
Feral
pitch.
Firing a gun. Yeah.
A bunch of different weapons, actually.
Yeah, he has a spear gun, flamethrower, pistol.
All things you should not ever have.
Yeah.
But right. I do personally.
You do,
I do personally in my weapons vault.
They have to give you a wooden gun at some point, though, in the film. I've noticed that.
They do. My gun is actually... I never have fired my gun, my character.
Okay.
And at one point it is taken away, and I receive a wooden gun. And then that is taken away, and I receive a rape whistle. So,
yeah.
If that gives you an insight to the competence of my character.
That's a whistle to blow if you're getting raped?
If I'm...
or to request being raped.
Either. It's optional.
Okay.
It's my option.
It's a constant threat throughout the whole movie.
Okay. Throughout Will's whole life, actually.
Really. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
He's right on the verge of being raped most of the time.
Right now, it's about 2 seconds away from happening.
Yeah. Someone in this crowd will probably attempt to rape me.
As you, I've got a volunteer right over here.
Okay, great.
As you sit down to write a movie like this, though, guys, you have to look at the cop genre and see the serious ones and the parody ones that have already been done. There have been 100 of them. How do you start and get a fresh take on a movie like this?
It's a weird one, yeah. The cop buddy genre is pretty well spent.
How do you make fun of something that's already been made fun of so much?
You treat it as sincerely as you possibly can and trust that you will fail.
And that's the way to go into it, yeah.
And trust that you'll fail.
And trust that you'll fail, yeah.
I thought we were the only ones that had that.
Adam, who did you want to get but had to settle for Will Ferrell to play one of the cops?
We were Russell Crowe was first and foremost.
Would have been good.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. We courted him for months and months.
That's too bad.
And I flat out told Will, it's a disappointment, but we'll go with you. Yeah.
And tell us how, and I think it's brilliant casting, how was Mark Wahlberg selected to be cop number one?
Wahlberg scared us more than anyone. That was basically it. He was the most intimidating guy we could meet with. So
did he threaten you to hire him? Is that what happened?
Basically, yeah.
Yeah, the
did
whole
he rape
thing
Will?
Was extortion. And he raped Will several times.
After about the fifth raping, we were like, okay.
All right, fine.
Well, fine.
This guy doesn't quit.
He got the part.
Yeah, we like the cut of your jib.
Yeah. Tenacious.
Now, did the raping stop once you hired him?
You know what? It was all...
No?
Not. I wish I could say it did.
Wow.
But it continued
more
throughout the filming. Yeah,
yeah.
It was more cuddling.
Yeah.
Okay.
And,
right.
And
spooning.
Written poems and spooning.
Okay.
It turned into a creepy love once he was hired.
And then an occasional rape just to keep me honest.
Yeah.
Keep you on your toes?
Keep me now, on
did
my
you,
toes.
Did you know, literally.
Did you know Mark at all before, Will?
We.
You kind of. I mean, you both have been circling Saturday Night Live in recent years.
I didn't serenaded know if gonna... him at the Oscars.
Oh,
if
that's
you recall.
Right.
That's right.
Yes.
When we sang our song about how comedians don't get any respect at the
but
Oscars.
Him you didn't want to cross,
no,
if I recall
we
correctly.
We basically said the lyrics were like, you are a badass and you probably beat me up, so we'll leave you alone.
And
so that was your overture.
That
to
was the
Marky
overture,
Mark.
But Adam and I had always talked about. We were a fan of his, and always thought that in the right context, this guy could be great in a comedy. And he was willing to.
Well, he's so funny in I Heart Huckabees. I don't know if you remember that.
Yeah,
and,
sure.
And actually, The Departed, he was really funny.
Oh, that's a laugh riot movie, isn't it?
Well, him just ripping into Damon and you know those guys, DiCaprio.
It's
you could
so
tell
intense,
he,
but he, it's also kind of hysterical.
Yeah.
I didn't find that funny. Is there something wrong with me?
At any point in the movie, and again, we're talking about the other guys with Will Ferrell and Adam McKay, at any point are you and Mark Wahlberg both shirtless on screen at the same time?
I don't believe we are.
It does not happen
it does
in this
not
movie.
Happen.
It's actually...
you don't show off the scar?
It's a missed opportunity.
Yeah.
Because I just see you guys comparing pecs is how I'm visualizing it. As I'm buff, no, I'm buff.
Right.
Six packs.
There wouldn't be much of an argument.
You'd win.
I would win hands down, clearly.
Well, we had a gym trailer, so every morning these guys, you'd come in and they'd be shirtless and working out, mm-hmm. oiled up for like 2 hours.
And by these guys, you mean who?
Will and Wahlberg. Yeah, okay. Yeah, right. Yeah. So there was some pecs being shown off. It just never made it on the film.
And a homeless guy named Charles.
Seriously.
Well, you need a spotter.
We need a spotter.
Yeah.
The Other Guys is the film. It opens everywhere on August the 6th. Adam McKay and Will Ferrell are our guests. If you're coming down to Comic-Con 2010, by the way, Sony Pictures presents the Other Guys panel this afternoon from 4 till 6 in Hall H.
Who's moderating that panel, by the way? Because I heard he's very good.
He's a drunk.
He's very good.
He's a guy who drinks a lot.
Are you doing that one,
Ralph?
Too?
Yes, I am.
You're
also
doing the Green Hornet and you're doing the Other Guys?
Yes, I am.
How is that possible?
Aren't they at the same time?
I'm the hardest working man in show business.
How could you be both places at the same time?
They're one after each other.
Are you mixing them together?
I'm very flattered.
Yes.
The Green Other Guys.
To have Ralph Jarman.
Garmin, Will. It's Garmin.
Hard G.
Hard G. I'm sorry. Yeah. I've always said Jarman.
That's all right.
Okay.
That'll be this afternoon in Hall H. More with our guests when we return live from San Diego after this on the Kevin DeBee
Show. Yeah, look at the Hornets.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It's 20 minutes after 9 o'clock.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah.
Keep the energy going.
Yeah.
Come on. Keep the energy going
for Comic-Con.
Keep it going.
Keep the energy going.
No, we're good. We don't need any more energy. We're good.
Yeah, that's probably enough energy. Yeah,
co-writers of The Other Guys, the great Adam McKay and Phil Ferrell are here with us here today.
That's Will Ferrell.
I'm sorry. Well, I'm not familiar with Mr. Ferrell's work, but it's a pleasure to meet a young up-and-comer in the business. Thank you.
It's great to be here. I can't believe I'm here.
The movie comes out August 6th. Let's talk about the real reason we agreed to do this interview at all, as we were told Eva Mendes was involved, and I see now clearly that we have been lied to. But she's your wife in this movie?
Yes.
Eva Mendes, one I know, the famous one?
You say it as if it's an impossible scenario.
Yes,
it is. It is, Will.
Yeah. Wait, could we have had her instead of you guys?
Well, we tried, but she wouldn't do it, so that's how we got stuck with these dudes.
She was told she was not wanted here.
Yeah.
All right.
Bye.
By these people.
Tell me, that is true. Tell me, because they wouldn't know what to do with a girl that hot. Tell me about Eva Mendes in this movie.
Okay.
They just turned on the
nice work, Dean. They turned on the
I'm just saying, what's the guy in the Yoda shirt going to do with Eva Mendes? That's all I'm saying.
This is almost a hate crime. You're very close to a hate crime right now.
I may now get raped next instead of Will.
You're at Comic-Con, man.
Yeah. He's cutting the rape line.
No, you're right.
We need to get you a whistle. Ava, I mean, in writing the script, Adam kept saying it'd be really funny for my character. He's very straight-laced and that the reveal to be that his wife is someone like an Eva Mendes, but that he doesn't see that she's as attractive as she is, and that she's like a workhorse. She's a plow horse. And she's like a city bus. She gets you from point A to point B.
And that's it.
She's
no frills.
She's, you know, relatively clean. And so that's a huge joke in the movie, and Mark cannot quite understand why she's with me and why throughout the film very hot women always are looking at me and checking me out, but I'm oblivious to it all.
That's the nice thing about writing your own movie.
Yeah,
make those and science fiction fantasies come true.
And then all hot women look at me.
Yeah, and they love me and they think I'm attractive.
Great. Is it true that there was a sex scene shot, but it will not be seen in the film?
Because it's real.
There was. Yeah.
What happened there?
Well, we went out into international waters,
right.
So, you know, there's no restrictions from the law.
Good.
And we had a block of opium, mm-hmm. and we just, for about 6 hours, Ava...
And a puma. A wild puma.
A puma. And a 90-year-old Indian man.
All right, so far I'm tracking with that. So far I think I know what you guys did together.
and some stuff happened. That's all legally I
was
can say.
Was it American
at this point.
Indian or was it Eastern Indian man?
It was. That's a really good question. Yeah, he's from Mumbai. Okay. He was. Didn't speak any English.
Lucky that locked in.
All yeah.
Is he still alive?
You know what? We had a lot of fun. We had a lot of fun. Let's just leave it at that.
All right.
Let's just leave it at that.
All right.
Now, so how come something like that doesn't make the movie, though?
No, we did shoot a scene with Will and Ava, like, wearing different, like, headgear. And
probably because she kept laughing during it.
in
not a way that would fit the context of the movie.
Not a way that was flattering to you as a man.
Exactly. When I saw that footage, I'm like, that's not going in, okay?
Yeah.
No one laughs at my prowess in the bedroom.
Well, they do. It's just not on screen.
You hear me, people? No one.
I don't think they were going to, Will. You don't have to strike that hostile tone.
I'm sorry. I did not mean to lash out.
They're all mad at him. Yeah. No, don't worry about it.
Now, the good cops in the movie, Sam Jackson, right? Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
Right.
Those are the good cops.
Those are the superstar cops.
They're the real cops.
Yeah. Real ones.
They're the iconic heroes of the movie.
Right.
Sure. Who suffers a slight demise.
Yeah.
Slight demise.
Yeah. So they have an accident.
They have
an unfortunate accident that happens in that business. And then these guys are the other guys, the guys in the desk next to them.
You're the B-team.
We're the B-team, and we're thrust to the forefront of solving New York City's toughest crimes.
Well, you're the guys for the job.
Yeah.
Other Guys opens August 6th. Hey, in our remaining moments, we've been asking everybody this because I'm so fascinated to hear the responses. How many Comic-Cons have you all been to?
This is my first one. So
how about that?
Yeah.
Adam, how about you?
I've never been to the one in San Diego. I've been to the one in Omaha 11 times. The one in San Antonio 8 times.
They don't get much press, those
Well, you know, it's for the real fans.
Are the posers, the San Diego
These
ones?
Are the posers, yeah. No. This is the first time I've ever been to San Diego, but I was a comic book collector as a kid, pretty avid. So I went to the one in Philly a couple times, Chicago a couple times, and after a 20-year absence, I'm back. So.
I was mistakenly told it took place at the airport. So I've been at the airport since last Monday.
Wow.
And just waiting for something
For something to happen.
He was in an Iron Fist outfit. He showed up. It was out at the airport. Yeah.
That's a comic book character, guys. Don't get a wrong idea.
You say Iron Fist to these two, they're thinking something.
Oh, I had no idea. Is there a comic book called Iron Fist? Or?
I thought we were back with the opium in the pool.
I was assaulted. I was assaulted in an airport bathroom by a Navi.
Wait, what?
By a Navi.
I'm sorry, I don't know what a Navi is.
From Avatar.
The
Blue People.
Kevin doesn't remember Avatar.
I thought that was a derogatory term for a Navajo Indian. I was like, that is offensive.
I do enjoy rounding up a bunch of Navis.
And stealing their land and giving them smallpox.
And giving them fire water.
Well, that was a hate crime.
All right. The Other Guys panel is going to be this afternoon starting at 4 o'clock or whenever Ralph can get there from the Green Hornet panel.
They're right next to each other. It'll be fine.
Are you going to be late for a panel?
No, yes, I'm not.
Do we already anticipate that?
No, I'm going to be there.
He's going to be there. He's doing it all. Ralph says yes to everything.
When you have Ralph Jarman.
Garman.
I'm sorry. I keep doing that.
Hard G.
When you have Garman, you know he'll be there on time.
You do know that.
That'll be this afternoon starting at 4 in Hall H if you're coming on down. Adam McKay, Will Ferrell, The Other Guys opens August 6th. Thank you, gentlemen. Have a great weekend.
Thanks for having us.
We'll be back with more on the Kevin DeBeach Show.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and it is 9:36.
Final moments of broadcasting from San Diego for Comic-Con 2010, but if you are coming on down just because the broadcast ends doesn't mean you won't still see Ralph Garman all day long today and tomorrow. You're going to be everywhere.
I am.
Doing everything.
I'm doing four movies we're talking about this afternoon, four different panels for four different movies, and then doing a little something for NBC tonight. You know, they've got that new series, The Event, that's coming on.
Yes.
So we're going to be taking a look at that and see what that's all about.
Ralph was hanging out with Angelina Jolie yesterday, by the way, if you hadn't heard that, by the way.
Yeah, that's true. By the way, did she ask about the...
Did Angelina Jolie ask about Kevin?
That's horrible.
I mean, it was a little... It was rushed.
No, you were horrible, but I mean, the song itself also...
But I'm saying Angelina Jolie ask about Kevin.
I think it gets the point across.
Good setup, though.
When you were talking to her, did she bring up anyone in particular?
Did Angelina Jolie ask about Kevin?
Let me think. Nope.
Okay. Time for the final look at the Showbiz Beat live from San Diego. Here's the hardest working man in show business, the king of Comic-Con.
Yeah.
Ralph Garman.
You know, speaking of Comic-Con, it was weird. It was just so odd for me because I was on the floor yesterday in between some panels, and I was walking by one of the booths. And
you say on the floor. You mean you were passed out?
No, the convention floor, where all the exhibits are and stuff. And there was Omar, okay, and he's dressed as Wolverine. Okay?
Right.
He's got the claws coming out.
Right.
But he's just wearing an adult diaper. That's just the diaper and Wolverine. And he kept perforating the diaper with his adamantium claws. And
why
he kept
was he doing that?
I have no idea.
Hey,
but
Ralph?
Then he was leaking sort of human waste out of the diaper.
Ralph.
And then he said, "Ooh, look at me. I'm Pooperine. I'm Pooperine." He kept saying.
Hey,
and I said, "It's Wolverine."
He's Pooperine.
He invented his own character, I guess.
That's
like
a terrible
superpower was just to offend people and smell bad.
Hang on, Omar. Ralph. What? Telling a story.
What? Omar, what?
That wasn't me. I'm back here at K-Rock.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, you're not down here?
No. You're not here enjoying the Comic-Con, having a good time with everybody?
And by the way,
Angelina Jolie asked about Kevin.
Who was that then?
It wasn't me either.
That's
it
weird.
Wasn't Lisa. Wasn't Lisa.
Huh.
You're telling me Lisa wasn't the Pooperine?
Just in case you were wondering.
All right, let's talk about showbiz.
Talk right there, man.
Yeah, let's talk about showbiz news, shall we? Apparently they...
What's going on down there?
Sorry, I don't know what's going on.
Apparently they're going to make a movie about the life of Grateful Dead leader Jerry Garcia.
Oh, great. I could not see that, too.
It's in the works.
That could be an interesting movie, though,
oh,
Kevin.
Oh, dear God.
He's a brilliant musician.
Yeah, the movie is expected to go on for about 9 hours, they said.
With a drum solo.
With a drum solo in between. It'll be based on a book called The Dark Star, which is a history of Jerry and the Dead. No word yet on who will play Jerry Garcia. They're having a hard time finding an actor, so they might just cast a smelly koala, they say.
That's a good choice.
You know, he had a finger missing, Kevin. It's one of the reasons he was able to play guitar the way he could.
You cannot measure how small my interest is in that topic.
Tremendous musician.
Wow, that's going to be boring.
The new reality show, Kate Plus 8.
Hey!
Now that...
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought we were talking about Kato again. I'm sorry.
No,
I was
Kate plus
okay.
Well, her kids are height. So, yeah.
No, that's true. Half Asian. All right.
Now that John's gone, they're pulling out all stops for its season premiere. They are giving her a little cameo. A little guest star will be stopping by Kate's house. Well, former Alaska Governor Sarah Palin.
Oh, you've got to be kidding.
Yeah.
Really?
Another reason not to watch that show.
Wow. Sarah Palin comes to Kate Gosselin's house to take her camping.
No.
What?
That didn't happen. What? The next president of the United States is appearing on Kate Plus 8?
Yeah, this sounds like a bad sitcom.
That's got to be an internet rumor.
No, it's happening. Sarah will even teach Kate how to avoid bears.
Why would she do
this? TLC says.
Why would she agree to be on this show?
Oh, I wish a bear would eat them both. Wouldn't that be the best thing ever?
It would. For the kids.
For the kids. It's all about the kids.
It is.
Megan Fox, apparently, speaking of kids.
Oh,
easy, easy. There's people here.
Mike, what? You got a little bit on me that time.
We've got company.
I'm sorry. I forgot my splash guard, guys.
Back it down. Oh, God, I need a shower now.
You just got one.
Make it rain?
Megan Fox apparently wants babies right away.
No, there it is. Sign me up.
Brian Austin Green, her husband. She wants to have babies with him.
No.
She said she can't wait to start a family, and she apparently, her career, she said, is not that important to her. She wants babies.
She
probably will try to cash in on these years and make as much money as she can. And then when she's about 30, she said she'll probably start having kids.
Okay.
How old is she now, do you know?
I do not know.
I think she's about 24.
24. All right, so she's got some more hotness.
6 years of her playing a whore.
Yeah.
If she keeps making movies like Jonah Hex, she'll be ready to start having kids at 25 because she won't be able to get any more work.
How dare you.
I'm just saying.
That's ugly.
And Comic-Con news, since we're down here, it's worth mentioning. Joss Whedon has confirmed that he will be directing the upcoming Avengers movie, which will be, of course, all the Marvel superheroes working together.
Asshole.
That's great news, right?
Yeah. Joss Whedon is not an asshole.
No, I don't know why somebody would say that.
You just pressed a button and you made a little piece of tape say asshole.
It wasn't me. That was
I
a woman,
saw it
a
right
woman
there.
Just raced up to the table and screamed that into a microphone.
And director Guillermo del Toro announced he is making a movie based on the Disneyland Haunted Mansion ride. So we got that to look forward to.
If you said a movie based on Disneyland Haunted Mansion ride, I would say no.
He's say Guillermo, you say his name, whatever his name is. Now I'm in.
Guillermo del Toro. God.
What are you doing? Why are you playing a timpani?
Why do we have a timpani?
Stop playing a timpani.
That was an accident,
what
too.
What are you doing?
It's
How about you just not touch that so much?
I think I'll touch it.
Just stop touching it. I bet no more sounds will come out of it.
I'm having some trouble here. Sorry.
Stop guessing and just hitting buttons.
Back to you, Ralph.
Did Angelina Jolie...
Brain damaged monkey.
Just reference me in any way?
Did Angelina Jolie ask about Kevin?
The show is horrible. The show is only good for about the first 2 hours. But after that, it goes in quick decline.
You've got people here watching. You're just embarrassing yourself.
Oh, please. This is the first embarrassment we've ever done.
This is embarrassment for me.
We live in a constant state of embarrassment.
All right. Today's celebrity. Stop touching it.
That's okay. Me. He's touching it. I can't get him to stop touching it.
Today's celebrity birthday is Woody Harrelson's 49 years old today. What?
That's the pug that sings that.
Oh, we didn't get a chance to mention that.
Have you guys seen the video of the pug that sings the Batman theme song?
The dog that...
You go to KevinB.com and go to the Internet Roundup, right, Dave? And there's a pug that when it barks...
Sounds like his name
Batman.
It
sounds like a girl shouting Batman. The strangest thing you will ever see.
I don't know why Woody Harrelson's birthday made that audio come up, but Martin Gore of Depeche Mode is 49. Slash of Velvet Revolver and Guns N' Roses is 45. Philip Seymour Hoffman, 43. Marlon Wayans of the hilarious comedy Wayans Brothers, he is 38. Omar Epps is 37. Daniel Radcliffe.
Ew.
Harry Potter himself is 21. Charisma Carpenter.
Yeah.
She, of course, from Buffy the Vampire Slayer fame and Angel. She is 40 years old. And that's it. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph.
Oh, you're much too kind.
Thank you to everybody down here in San Diego. You're going to be here all weekend.
You notice how the crowd thinned out after Will Ferrell left?
Yeah. I don't blame him.
And no one can blame him.
Yeah. I wanted to thin out with them. Monday morning, we have an all-new program. We are going to do a bunch of interviews today. We're going to talk to Randy Couture and Stone Cold Steve Austin today. We're going to talk to Roger Corman.
Yes.
Perhaps somebody you've
Legendary
heard of,
Legendary producer Roger Corman, also producer of a little movie I like to call Sharktopus.
And why do you like to call it that?
Because that's the name of it.
We have Jeff Bridges. We will interview. We're going to talk to Winnebago Man on Monday. How am I more excited about that than any of these other people yet?
So excited.
Accoutrement. Can't wait. And Dick Cheney's dead. We didn't have time for that today.
He's not dead.
He's not dead.
He's the undead.
He's the undead.
He has no heart, but he's still alive.
Right.
Yes.
And we're also going to start giving away X Games tickets, and we're going to talk to Ryan Sheckler on an all-new program on Monday morning. Have a great weekend, everybody, and we will see you on Monday.
Thanks a lot for coming down and seeing the show here in San Diego, guys. You were great.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Accoutrement.
He was riding dirty.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Did somebody order a hooker over here?
Roll another one.
Uh-huh. What's that all about?
Just like the other one.
God, I hate you so much.
This one seems to be about to quit.
What is going on in there?
And I need another hit.
One quality show after another, each one fresher and more brilliant than the last. If they only stumbled once, they won't. They won't let me live.
Wow, somebody got to Homer. He's on the meth. What happened?
Roll another one.
What the hell is wrong with you, black man?
Just like the other one.
Chicks and midgets. Bam. You sound like an unbelievable douche.
I don't have another cent.
I'm married just between Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve.
Yeah.
Good point.
What?
Just pass it around.
Gay. Well, you know what? I'm going to try and get this to stop. I'm going to try and put a stop to it. Somehow, I'll find a way! Ginger and proud of it.
Out! I want you out! This isn't working! I don't care where you go, as long as you don't stay here!
What are you saying?
What don't you understand about out?
So until next time, catch one for me and enjoy the great fishing America has to offer. We'll see you next time.
Pack
up. Get the f*** out.
The proceeding was a paid presentation for the Flavor Wave Turbo.